brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and thank you for joining us. It's September 15th on this Wednesday 2010 transmission. I got a call last night. Joe Rogan, host of Ultimate Fighting, is in town, and he was inviting me tonight to see the UFC. And I said, hey, why don't you come in the studio and get his view on politics and, quote, conspiracies? And Eddie Bravo, who is a jiu-jitsu master, he's also going to be in studio with Joe today. So that's coming up in the third hour because they're here in Austin, Texas. So we look forward to talking to both of those guys. I've known Joe for 12 years now. Time certainly flies. News radio, Fear Factor, movies, many other television shows. He had, of course, his own television show on Comedy Central, The Man Show. And, you know, Joe does a lot of research on the whole global government system. But I want to get his take on the fact that humanity has got such advanced technologies and they're just accelerating at a light speed rate, and that our civilization is in a lot of danger. So we'll have a discussion about that with Joe and some other things as well, and I'll ask him what he thinks of the UFC as being the modern gladiatorial event. And what, 20 years from now, 10 years from now, the way things are getting more extreme, will they have battle axes in there hacking each other up? So we'll be discussing that. And also, I agree with Joe on his views about total desensitization. In fact, last night I was talking to my mom, and she was discussing her grandmother back in the 60s, was over at their house, and she saw I Dream of Jeannie, and she was just shocked by the fact that the woman's navel was visible. And now, you know, you can make fun of people who are shocked by things like that, but civilizations have been wild and decadent and crazy before, and people figure out, hey, we better control this to some level, or it causes society to collapse because it's a slippery slope. Now look at media. Now look at the culture. People see millions and millions over their lifetimes of simulated murders and deaths and torture. And every time I go to a movie to analyze it, I'm not really a fan of really violent films, just because I realize how serious it is, unless it's in a serious context. I would have liked to have been in the theater when The Road came out a few years ago. I saw it on DVD and was profoundly affected by it because I've studied so much history. I know how accurate it was, dealing with cannibalism and deprivation. I would wonder if people would laugh and giggle at inappropriate things while watching that movie. Because when I do watch other violent films and children are being kidnapped and killed, people laugh in the audience. It's not an uncomfortable laugh. They think it's trendy and cool to think all of this is cute, and it's because they have disassociated themselves from reality. And somebody who's shocked by images of violence and death, someone, you know, setting themselves on fire or blowing their brains out, you know, there's real footage of that out there on the web. Back in Vietnam, people were shocked by the image of children who'd been napalmed with their skin burned off. People were shocked by the image of Vietnamese police, you know, blowing a man's head off in the street. But now people are like, big deal. They laugh about it. And they think it's cute. And it's because, A, they don't know history. B, they don't have common sense. And C, they haven't experienced trauma. And this has all been done by design so that when your neighbors are being abused by the jackbooted thugs or when the CPS is taking your kids, your even your own family isn't going to be shocked by it and just accept that bad things happen, because the mind sees all this simulated violence on television as real. And so it can't differentiate between fact.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
You know what happens more and more? I get up in the morning and I do a couple hours of research, and then I come into the office and my producers and crew are all doing their own research. So I've got my own stack of news and they give me another big stack of news, and I sit here and I read it and I look at it, and even I can't believe how brazen it all is. And I'll go back to Bloomberg yesterday before I get into all the new news, where Prudential and others had secret agreements in 1999 with the Department of Veterans Affairs to not pay death benefits on policies that were paid for by the families and supplemented by the Pentagon, and they just keep the money. And in the news articles, that when they report on it, they say, is this okay? So they just set the precedent that, oh, yes, we make fake bin Laden videos. Those were fake on the news that we put out over and over again. The CIA comes out and admits it in the Washington Post. And, oh, yes, we are helping grow the opium in Afghanistan and protecting it. Mm-hmm. AP, Reuters, Fox News, CNN. And, oh, yes, we're telling you core exit is not bad for you and there's no health problems from it. And, yes, we're telling you the dust at ground zero is safe. And, yes, we're telling you DU is safe. And, yes, we're telling all pregnant women, you must take the flu shot this year. When on the insert of the regular seasonal flu and the H1N1 shot that they're now combining, they admit, don't take this if you're pregnant. That's always been 101. How many medical doctors have we had on this show? Sherry Tenpenny, MD, Blaylock, MD, and brain surgeon. I mean, I don't need a doctor to tell me this. I can read the stinking insert, but this morning, all over the news, I wasn't even looking for it. It was full court press. Women, if you're pregnant especially, get out and get the flu shot or it can kill your baby. When it causes all sorts of autoimmune disorders, brain damage, retardation in utero, and they admit that that's the case. Miscarriages increase, tenfold increase in seizures, Guillain-Barré, narcolepsy. I mean, it's all admitted. And it's like these drug ads that you hear. Having trouble having to go to the bathroom every few hours? That's not natural. Take this. It may make you have a heart attack, give you brain cancer, make you psychopathic. I mean, you see the ads. Restless legs. Are your legs moving at night? Well, yeah, because you don't exercise. So you're not exhausted. So you have trouble going to sleep. Instead of them saying, go march up and down the local hills in your area, or go for a jog, or at least walk the dog three times around the block, and then you'll be ready to go to sleep. They say, we've got a drug for you, restless legs. It may cause wild gambling. They actually say it may cause compulsive gambling. It may cause you to become sexually wild. Take this drug. I mean, what? It's absurdist. It's like every day is the Twilight Zone with all of this. It's the Twilight Zone to have the private Federal Reserve in the last 2 years, in the Bush and now Obama administration, the New York head of the Fed, the chairman of the Fed, the Treasury secretaries, they get up before Congress and they all say, I'm not going to tell you where the money is. And the senators and House members say, where's the money? Kucinich, Paul, Stern, they all ask the question, where's the money? Issa, where's the money? Where's this trillion? Where's that 800 billion? Where's this 3 trillion? And they just say, I'm not going to tell you. Just like 6 years ago, Rumsfeld is before the Armed Services House Committee and they say, okay, $2 trillion was missing when you came into office. Now it's $4+ trillion. Where's the money? And he goes, well, let me consult the, at the time, head of the Pentagon Office of Budget, Dr. Chu. We've played this clip many times. Dr. Chu. And Dr. Chu says, we're not going to tell you where the money is. And then it's like watching gangsters up there, and they just say, we're not going to tell you. We're going to do what we want, how we want. I mean, we're so far down the road of just bonkers insanity. It's like DynCorp was caught in 99 and caught in 2000, 2001, 2002, right through to last year. BBC, Chicago Tribune, major news articles that when I was reading them, I couldn't even believe it, that DynCorp's been caught in Eastern Europe and wherever they have military bases running giant slave rings, white slavery. That's sexual slavery. Every time I say white slavery, I get emails going, don't you care about black slavery? White slavery is sexual slavery. Nothing to do with being white. But these are predominantly white women. And then I find out, I know how much I don't know. And then about 6 months ago, I get a phone call and an email because she was listening to the show from a researcher. And she says, Alex, you didn't know that in most states, the biggest private contractor for CPS is DynCorp? Catherine Austin Fitz called me and sent me the info. And then I just searched DynCorp CPS contracts, and they're the biggest contractor in Texas. And they're running the child kidnapping here, but through just the cover of, oh, we're protecting hurt children. But then every day I see articles from Texas to New York to Florida, California, Michigan, every day. Sometimes not every day, but then I'll see three in one day. I mean, on average, it's every time I look at news, scanning through it, where there's a crackhead woman that the CPS knows isn't feeding her 4-year-old who weighs 15 pounds and the girl dies. Or there's some white trash person pulling their child's teeth out with pliers and they know and don't stop them. Well, they don't want a crackhead baby. They don't want some white trash baby. They want middle class, healthy, blonde haired, blue eyed babies. That's why if you are a good looking wife and you're a good looking man and they know your kids are what the adoption agencies get in some cases $500,000 for, and they get a cut of it. Your child could have a crooked toenail. They're gone. And DynCorp is a coming. I mean, again, all of you police out there and FBI and the rest of you who are compartmentalized, I've got the news here today where they're getting ready to start taking federal employees' pensions, state employees' pensions. I mean, do you think if DynCorp can publicly kidnap kids nationwide through color of law fraud and then openly pure kidnapping overseas, not even the pretense of color of law, do you think if they killed 1 million-plus Iraqis in the last 7.5 years that they care any more about you? If they'll take the death benefits and have an agreement, a secret agreement with the VA to tell people to sign up for these and not tell them what the fine print says and steal their money. I mean, what's next? See, we have to understand, I have to understand the psychology we're all under, because I tend to say we're in Iraq, we're in Afghanistan. No, we are not. The corporate Borg that's taken over our government is in control of our military. It's dismantling our Bill of Rights and Constitution that protects us from tyranny. And now the sky's the limit. The bottom has fallen out of this thing. And we, all of us, need to get it through our heads. This is not our government. The world government is real. It is oppressive. It is murderous. Its end game is set up a high-tech police state grid, bankrupt everybody to get us into the system, and then start carrying out even more obvious sterilization and euthanasia. I mean, do you think we just got up on air all these years and just made up death panels? I mean, now Bill Gates is out saying death panels are good. And after they get everybody into a government healthcare system, now we've all got to, quote, share instead of expanding the pie. They say, hey, we could hire 10 teachers or fire 10 teachers, but we got to kill one grandma to do it. And they put that image out and that message out to all the government workers, telling them, hey, big cuts are coming. If you want to keep your pension fund, if you want to keep your health care, if you want to keep your job, you better get on the bandwagon to not give people over 60 insurance-paid LASIK procedures to fix their eyes. You better get behind dehydrating people who can talk. They strap them down and kill them. That's the Wall Street Journal. Wesley Smith, he's a top lawyer, works with Ralph Nader. He's a liberal. Kurt Nemo's got a big story on this coming out in the next 30 minutes. where they name the names of people who are paralyzed chest down, who the family signs them over to government custody, and they come in and start shooting them up with morphine and tie them down to their bed and dehydrate them over 14 days. The media used Terri Schiavo because she looked like she was brain dead so that she could be the poster child to have the debate about. So, oh, well, they just killed that lady who looks like a vegetable. When meanwhile, the news won't give major attention to the fact that they've got death panels where people actually in the Netherlands and in some of those other Scandinavian countries north of there actually have bracelets and tattoos saying, do not kill me. I mean, they kill people, ladies and gentlemen. They kill you. They deny you care. And that's what these bioethicist boards are all about. And everybody's so shocked. I'm getting all these emails. Alex, you were telling the truth. You know, now they admit death panels and it's all over the news and they're saying how great it is. Well, of course it's in there. That's what these bioethicist boards are. They play the part of God. And if you know, the first people to be killed in Nazi Germany in 33 through about 39 before the war started, they first started euthanizing old people because they were a national socialist. And they said, well, the public's having to pay for your health care and tax money. And so we're just going to kill old people and retarded children deader than a hammer. And then it moved on from there. And they sell it as, well, we don't want to pay for these people and you're having to pay for it. Meanwhile, the money, the lion's share of it's been stolen by the banks. And so they're selling you on the idea if you want to have a good economy, you've got to go along with death panels. But I haven't even gotten into the news. It's off the charts. It's all coming up after this quick break. Stay with us. The main point I'm trying to get across is this. We, the people of this planet, are on the same team. Even if you're compartmentalized and work for the system and oppress people, you are expendable. And this system is so corrupt, so evil, it boggles the mind how brazen and naked they are in their openness. And can you imagine what's coming next? Things are out of control. Now, let me just read to you some of the headlines. I'm going to go through it. This is the type of news we have today. This is just one stack of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 stacks. In fact, if you can give me a document cam shot, I can show everybody this. Reid adds controversial immigration measure to defense bill. This is what we warned of. We told you they were coming back with amnesty, that it would be added to the defense bill. And before they leave for the recess, they are planning to completely legalize all illegal aliens in the country and basically bring in unlimited numbers of their family. And this has been openly announced by Harry Reid. He doesn't care if the polls are almost 90% against it. He doesn't care if it's treason. He doesn't care if the states are going bankrupt. It doesn't matter. They plan to do it. That's one article. Huge. Here's another one. You know about MIAC Homeland Security reports. There's literally scores of these. Well, Pennsylvania Homeland Security puts anti-tax protesters on list of terrorist threats who they believe may attack the infrastructure. And they say that by trying to cut taxes, that threatens the infrastructure, threatens the government. I thought we the people are the government. And so they're listed as terrorists. The Pittsburgh Tribune Review reports Pennsylvania Democrat Governor Ed Rennell is deeply embarrassed by the disclosure that Senate Homeland Security officials have designated anti-tax protesters and other folks exercising their First Amendment rights to petition the government as a threat to the state's infrastructure. I'm appalled by the information that was disseminated, he said. Let me make this clear as I can make it. Protesting is not a threat against infrastructure. Protesting is God-given American right. Pennsylvania paid a Philadelphia-based nonprofit $125,000. So all they do is go get a Southern Poverty Law Center ADL list. They take the police intelligence files, and then they integrate it together and get $125,000. This goes on. They've got these little watchdog groups in every major city, even in small towns, and they get big cash. big state and federal and private foundation, Ford Foundation money to run around and brainwash the police that patriots are bad. Pennsylvania paid a Philadelphia-based nonprofit $125,000 to compile the list as part of a state Homeland Security federally mandated mission to protect public infrastructure. And it just goes on from there. This is a big story at Infowars.com by Kurt Nemo. Pennsylvania Homeland Security puts anti-tax protesters on list of terror threats. And we got same reports out of Texas 6 years ago, listing gun owners, veterans, as the number one threat. But because it was Bush's administration doing it, conservative media wouldn't pick up on it. Now that it's Obama, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Like the Who song says, it's like, oh my gosh, Obama wants to go after conservatives. Folks, you've always been the enemy. Again, I would watch conservative pundits on Fox and listen to them on the radio read from reports that I had. They didn't tell you they were reading a report, but I'd read the reports. We'd covered it here. I knew they were reading federal demonization scripts. Whoever's loading their teleprompter is a globalist. I mean, they're getting a direct government propaganda feed. We know they're bad. It's open and shut. And all these years, we put these reports out over and over again as they were leaked to us. And it would never get attention because it was George W. Bush and why he couldn't do that, why he's taken all our rights to fight men in caves. So that's two articles out of probably 100 here or more. Gold prices touch another record high today. All-time record high of yesterday broken again. Gold fever strikes mom-and-pop prospectors in the West. It's now profitable to be prospectors again or even pan for gold. Here's another one. Retirement on hold. American workers $6 trillion short. And it goes on to say, yeah, we're going to raise your retirement age and start taking part of your pension fund. CNBC. Here's another one. States cutting benefits for public sector retirees. Yeah, they're going to end up taking most or all of your pensions. And so they tell the police and the code inspectors, oh, we've got a big shortfall. Go out there and squeeze the public. You're going to get screwed, too, in the end. You're going to get cheated. You're going to get nailed to the wall. Here's another one. Chinese think tank warns U.S. it will emerge as loser in trade war. We're going to go over all of this when we come back. And of course, the big news... Christine O'Donnell, demonized by Karl Rove and the neocons. They're very upset that she won. And they're saying, hey, basically the Democrats better. I mean, this is outrageous. We'll talk about it.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Let me get straight into this Karl Rove Republican situation. Here is the New York Times today. GOP leaders say Delaware upset hurts Senate hopefuls. Now, they basically said the same thing about Rand Paul. They sent in Cheney to campaign against him. They put all their money behind the Republican establishment pro-bailout candidate. They demonized him, just like the Democrats are now doing. And he's widened his lead against the Democrat in the last few months since he won the primary against the Republican. But they said the same thing. Oh, people extreme like him, and they lied about what he really stood for, he can't win. And so they create this self-fulfilling prophecy of, oh, you can't vote for that candidate because they can't win. And now the Republicans are creating the hoax with the Democrats that all these different real Tea Party candidates who actually, you know, are against the out-of-control spending, the banker bailouts and the rest of it, that they're bad and that they can't win and you need to go for establishment Republicans, the same Republicans that are for more banker bailouts, the same Republicans that under Bush four separate times tried to pass amnesty. The same Republicans like Newt Gingrich who want global carbon taxes and want world government. And the hoax intensifies. I have the transcript here. We're not going to play the entire clip, but it's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. in an article that Paul Watson's written, anti-establishment fervor, a hammer blow to the Washington elite. But here's a transcript from Fox News from last night. Karl Rove questions Christine O'Donnell's serious character problems. And then I have the quotes here. They're saying because it took 20 years for her to pay off her student loans, that is deceptive. Again, these serious questions about how does she make her living? Why did she mislead voters about her college education? How come it took nearly two decades to pay her college bills? I've seen numbers of upwards of half of many college students now not paying their loans because they can't. She paid them off. How come it took nearly two decades to pay her college bills so she could get her college degree? How did she make a living? Why did she sue a well-known and well-thought-of conservative think tank? Rove. But we also can't make progress if we have candidates who've got serious character problems, who cause ordinary voters who are not philosophically aligned with us to not vote for our candidates out of concern of what they said and what they will do. I mean, you've got Republican and Democratic House members that go to Congress worth a few hundred thousand dollars, and they leave a decade later sometimes worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes billions of dollars in some cases. In every case, their net worth just skyrockets because they're paid off. They're given business deals and business offers, and one of the most classic payoffs is they will buy a piece of property dirt cheap, and then someone will buy it for three, four, five, or even more times what it's worth. And they've got all these other little inside sweetheart deals that make Hillary Clinton's cattle futures scam look like child's play. So they're going after this lady saying she didn't pay off her college loan for 20 years but did pay it off. And she had an $11,000 unpaid tax bill because she didn't have it in 2005. And the IRS put a lien on her. No judge, no jury, no proof. The IRS just sent her a letter, and this has happened to us, saying, you miscalculated by $5,000 on your taxes. This was 3 years ago. So now penalties and interest, we want $15,000. That's happened to yours truly. Pay it, or we're going to seize your bank account. And if you don't pay quick, they put a lien on you. Then they seize your bank account. This happened to this poor lady, and then she ended up paying it later. Meanwhile, you've got Geithner not paying taxes for 5 years completely. You've got large portions of the Congress not even paying them, period. You've got record numbers of White House staffers and White House officials and czars not paying taxes, involved in all forms of corruption. But none of that's an issue. No, the issue is this lady had a lien thrown on her by the IRS because the IRS said she owed some money. I pulled up the numbers. It was a couple thousand dollars, but for penalties and interest, they wanted $11,000 from her and slapped a lien on her. Slapped a lien on her to get it. And now, oh my gosh, because this lady had a lien on her, this is, what's the quote that he uses over and over again trying to hammer into your brain? Serious character problems. Now, I don't know this lady from the side of a barn, but the fact that the system is attacking her, the fact that the system is demonizing her, the fact that they have the Republicans and Democrats coming out against her, I mean, that tells you all you need to know. And Sarah Palin endorsed her. She's endorsed Rand Paul. I mean, you've got to commend her on that. I think she's far better than Glenn Beck. I mean, I know what Glenn Beck is. I'm not really even sure about Sarah Palin. I know she's been hooked in with Kissinger, and that's not good, but, these people run in those circles. But the fact that she endorsed McCain, see, that balances it out that she's bad. Point is, time will tell on this, but you've got really the establishment Republicans doing everything they can to make sure that real patriotic candidates who are anti-private Federal Reserve, who are anti-globalist, who are anti-banker bailouts, do not get into political office. And she's got a good chance of winning if people realize, and the polls show they do, that when someone's being attacked by both sides of the fake political spectrum, that is a certification that they are at least better than what the establishment is trying to push. And now that she's won the primary, and they've had a bunch of other upsets as well, against establishment Republicans in the primary, and establishment Democrats are losing in the primary every time they have primaries. I mean, it's just scores of races every time they have these primaries the last 3-4 months, showing that voters are really starting to get sophisticated, and they're not going to just get conned by the Republicans. They're not just going to get conned by the Democrats. That's why there's record numbers of people not donating to the Republican Party, the RNC itself, who then disperses it to who they want. They're donating directly to candidates. And that's what Scott Karl Rove so upset. He wants that money. He wants to be able to control that and put his people into power. And so we can have somebody like George W. Bush, who's for amnesty and all this police state stuff and issuing all these intelligence reports and police training, demonizing people that want to get rid of the Federal Reserve, or real conservatives that want to get us out of wars like Ron Paul because we're going bankrupt and they're immoral. So that's what's going on here. And you're going to hear from Tea Party candidates about getting medical care for the 9/11 responders. You're going to hear from Tea Party candidates criticism of Veterans Affairs signing secret deals with insurance companies to steal their death benefits. You're going to hear about the private Federal Reserve and the New World Order. You are not going to ever hear that out of Karl Rove and people like him. They've been there all along trying to co-opt the libertarian, constitutional, Christian movements, you name it. They've done everything they can. And so let's go ahead and play a short clip of Karl Rove, really demonizing this poor lady and just repeating that talking point over and over again that she has serious character problems. And then when you actually go find out what those character problems are, he just uses that term. When you actually find out what they are, it took her 20 years to pay off her student loans, and she had an $11,000 lien on her from the IRS. No due process. They just slapped it on her. Here it is.
You know what? If you vote for cap and tax and you have an opponent that says they wouldn't, then they have a choice. They have an option. So I think it was very substantive, very based on issues, very based on the voting record of one and the promised voting record of another.
You know, again, you're making my case. This was about Mike Castle's bad votes. It does conservatives little good to support candidates who, at the end of the day, while they may be conservative in their public statements, do not evince the characteristics of rectitude and truthfulness and sincerity and character that the voters are looking for.
But I think and she doesn't show rectitude. This is a guy up there high and mighty, saying, I tell you who has rectitude. I tell you who is morally good. I tell you, who you could vote for and who you can't. I'm the grand poobah. I'm the high priest. I'm going to tell you, Republicans, what you can and can't do. You need to stay on the Karl Rove reservation because I am morally of high rectitude. This is the guy lying about WMDs. This is the guy caught red-handed framing a Democratic governor in Alabama on record. They just framed him, sent him to prison. He was released. This is a guy involved in every dirty trick you can imagine. And all these sycophantic rhino Republican supporters like going to these events because they paid $5,000 to go to a dinner with George Bush and Karl Rove, and they feel like they're part of the power structure. And they go pose like a bunch of parrots in a tree, in this whole pecking order. And Karl Rove's their friend, and they're smart Republicans, and they've been co-opted and scammed for decades, and they want to be suckered again, and they're going to listen to him because he's got so much moral rectitude. This is the White House writing torture memos saying they could even torture people's children with pliers in front of their parents. And even if you think that's moral and good, which obviously it's not, is it moral to then send the private contractors and military people in Afghanistan and Iraq who followed the orders to torture when it finally came out that the White House had ordered it? And we had the memos, the Gonzales and other memos, and Rove was involved defending it. The Gonzales and John Yoo memos, they then sent a bunch of these people to prison. And then Bush comes out 2 months ago and gives a speech saying, I'd order torture again. And all these guys on Fox, I've seen them all, say that torture's good and that Jack Bauer's a great patriot and we have real Jack Bauers that are keeping us safe. So they're up there defending it and saying you're a hero if you torture, but by golly, we're going to order you to torture and then send you to prison when you do it. I mean, is that moral? Even those of you that have a torture fetish and think that's tough? Think that's what the good guys do? But you also have doublethink. You know, it's bad when the North Vietnamese or the North Koreans or the Chinese or the Russians or anybody else tortures. But it's good when we do, because we're the good guys. Yeah, we're the good guys. We're not running anything. Get that straight. See, these yuppies think they're part of the power structure. We invaded Iraq to bring democracy and get the WMDs. We are the big, tough Americans. We are the idiots that pay for all this for these offshore corporations that run our country. We're the idiots being taxed into oblivion. We are the fools. Just like those troops and contractors, a lot of them sadists, a lot of them were hired out of the federal prison system as prison guards who had records of torture and abuse. You know, they like it. But the point is, this is the oxymoron contradiction of hypocrisy to the 10th power. Okay. I've gone over that. Here's another article today. Veterans sue CIA Army for experiments at Dietrich and Edgewood. And it goes into what they think of you, the troops, and what they think of you, the police, and what they think of you, the bureaucrats. They hate you. You understand that? They fear you. They give you all this illegal, unconstitutional power to abuse the American people and brainwash you that it's for good reasons. And then they've got to keep you in check, though, and they prey on you statistically more than anybody else because they need to police their own attack dogs. You're out there in the doghouse. They're getting ready to put you on half rations financially, and a lot of you just love it. A lot of you, though, are starting to wake up. Now, I want to shift gears into another subject before I go back into the economy, and then I'm going to take phone calls next hour. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. I want first-time callers today, though. So notice we're getting a lot of regulars in the first few round of calls. I want new listeners to be able to get in or people who've never been able to get in. 1-800-259-9231 will get you up and on the air. But I wanted to get into this little stack of news first. If the guys will give me a document cam shot, I'll show the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers this article. You can also go to InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and read this article by Paul Joseph Watson yesterday. Kurt Nemo's got an expanded, detailed report that just went up seconds ago at InfoWars.com. It's titled Bill Gates Death Panel, Tip of the Iceberg. That's the newest report by Paul Joseph Watson, Kurt Nemo, and Alex Jones. We've all worked together in the last 3 days to write this research piece. And it gets into a whole spectrum of information. How they're taking over our original healthcare system. How they're about to get rid of charity care, which all citizens are entitled to and are paid into by regular people that are purchasing healthcare at the full price, and all these giant Rockefeller tax-free foundations that for decades, actually more than 100 years, have been operating as a profit center and not giving people the charity care they're supposed to. It gets into how doctors were trained until just about a decade ago to have the Hippocratic Oath. That's now not given. Doctors were trained that 25% to 33%, depending on the state, of the work they did was to be free for charity care. Ron Paul has talked about that as a medical doctor. He worked for, depending on where he worked, he did this because it was what he was supposed to do, $2 to $5 an hour on top of his practice. But he would go a few days a week and do that, just like my father does. And they're getting rid of that where you've got to go on Medicare and Medicaid, and now that's the death panel where they get everybody's wealth socialized, and then they say, look, you're having to pay for all these old people, these sick people, these mentally retarded people. We want to go ahead and euthanize them. And that's what Bill Gates is saying. He's saying, you know, we call this death panels, but they play us off against each other. Are you for laying off 10 teachers, or are you for killing granny? And that's what all this deals with. So there's two reports, Bill Gates death panel, tip of the iceberg. That's the big report. And then there's the report yesterday by Paul, the real story behind Bill Gates and death panels. Two separate articles. We can save a lot of lives, educate a lot of people. Most folks don't know that you're working, you know, and you're making $35,000 a year or so. You can't get insurance because you've got a pre-existing condition like Crohn's caused by vaccines, or epilepsy caused by vaccines, so many of these issues, or a thyroid problem caused by sodium fluoride, off the charts, or diabetes from the corn syrup. They're now renaming it to corn sugar to be deceptive on the labels because they know you're wise to them, conclusively just giving you cancer, growing cancer, giving you diabetes. You go in, you get early onset of brain disorders that are now have. People are getting Alzheimer's at 30, 35. You suddenly get denied your insurance. You try to go in and get care. And they say, oh, we'll put you on Medicaid. Then they start denying that, or Medicare, for older folks. And now you're not going to have a choice to go get charity care because they're phasing that out under the system. You understand? That's what this government takeover of healthcare is. The hospitals don't want to provide charity care. See, the illegal aliens know about this. That's why they have ads in the newspapers in Mexico from the U.S. hospitals because they want the federal funds. Come here, have your baby, get on free welfare. It's all free. Now, a citizen shows up and you want free health care, they call the CPS, try to take your kid. Oh, you're destitute. You can't pay your bills. And you shouldn't be having a baby. That baby's going to be blonde-haired, blue-eyed. We're going to get $400,000 for that. Be right back. See, the globalists are eugenicists, and they want to bankrupt you financially, get you into their social welfare net, so they can then force vaccines on you, force drugs on you, and run you through their eugenics mills. This is what they're doing. And this report by Kurt Nemo, Paul Watson, and yours truly, Bill Gates Death Panels, Tip of the Iceberg, is up at Infowars.com. And I'm asking you to get this and email it out to everyone you know because the people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's got Bill Gates admitting, hey, we're going to basically kill Granny. We're not going to give her medical care. And that'll be able to let us hire 10 teachers instead of firing 10 teachers. And they're selling this idea that we are a cannibalistic society that doesn't build new things and make things better. No. We kill people. We cut services. That's how you get ahead. No, that's how you destroy a civilization. They want to consolidate power. They want to destroy the industrialized society. This is their stated eugenics goals. Gates isn't just supporting and funding death panels and the promotion of them. He's promoting vaccines that sterilize you, eugenics, plants that grow vaccines in them so you can't escape the vaccines, mosquitoes that deliver vaccines to you. His father was on the board of directors of Planned Parenthood. He is a monster. This isn't charity, the $100-plus billion he's gotten together with other billionaires. This is global government. This is their passion. So we're going to have a new search term today. We haven't done this in a week or so. We're going to have a new search term. We're going to make number one today, thanks to all of you. This will be the 21st search term we've done. Every time it's become number one. Google search the term Gates Death Panels. Gates Death Panels with an S, Gates Death Panels. Just search those three words in Google, in Yahoo, in every major search engine. Do it over and over again and send the story out to everyone and click on the story. And it's already the number one link. If you type in Bill Gates Death Panels on Google News, it's our story's already number one. Paul Watson's article from yesterday. And so we're going to push this out as the number one search term, and then hundreds of newspapers and blogs, as you've seen, will then go click on our story to find out what it's about. They'll research it. They'll write about it. It'll cause another chain reaction. So Bill Gates is who we're going after today, and the search term is Gates, G-A-T-E-S, Death Panels. Gates Death Panels is the search term, and that will send people to the detailed article, Bill Gates Death Panels, Tip of the Iceberg. So Gates Death Panels is the search term today, and I can't impress on you enough. I mean, obviously, you know how important this is. And we've got some videos from Sunday where I broke this down. Also there for people to visit the article where they can see where I go over this information again for people who like to watch videos instead of reading. That's a large portion of the population. We're just trying to reach out to people and do what any good neighbor would do and warn people about what's happening. Because if I don't warn people about the tyranny they're going under, I'm going to go under that tyranny. A lot of selfish people think, oh, I don't care about anybody. Why should I warn people? They're all dumb. Who cares? Well, if you just give up on humanity and just give in to corruption and capitulate to corruption, it's over. They'll start telling you core exit isn't bad for you and asbestos isn't bad for you. And they'll start taking the dead veterans' insurance money and keeping it in deals with the government. Bloomberg reporting. They'll let dying core run around and kidnap your kids. They'll take your pension funds. The sky is the limit here. There's no end to what these people are capable of and what they've already done. And they always do it in a philanthropic, charitable way. Oh, everybody's, oh, they're so good. Oh, the Rockefeller Foundation that owns and controls most of the private hospitals through different sub-companies. Oh, aren't they sweet? Oh. See, they set up this whole charity care system and keep most of the money for themselves. Now they just want to get rid of that completely. Have the government pay them Medicare and Medicaid to basically kill your butt. So that's what socialist healthcare is. And that's what we've got. It's death care. The death panels are real. It's all exposed. Bill Gates death panels, tip of the iceberg. Search the term Gates death panels.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We were talking about eugenics at the end of the last hour. The giant global kill grid that's being built. But the good news is, all over the world, people are waking up to the fact that the vaccines are being spiked to give us cancer, to sterilize, to reduce fertility. And here's a report. Millions of Chinese oppose max vaccination plan. Again, millions of Chinese oppose mass vaccination plan. And, of course, the World Health Organization, whose pledged goal and aim, along with our State Department's pledged goal and aim, is to reduce world population by 80%. We got a group that says that's their aim, and they got a shot for you. And they lobby to have your water fluoridated because they care so much about your teeth. But it's so brazen, so evil, so corrupt, right out in the open that some people still can't believe it. Even though we've published, with direct links to the Rockefeller Foundation, all their admissions. This is all public. Do you have the courage to face the horror? I mean, that's really the question here. That's the question. Do you have what it takes to go look at the information? Now, I want to take a bunch of first-time callers, and then I'm going to get into Reed's back. They're going to introduce total amnesty in the defense bill and try to ram it through as their last act of treason before the Republicans come back in. And don't hold your breath when the Republicans win the House back, maybe even the Senate. You watch, they're going to, you'll be so feeling so good that you beat that wicked Obama. You know, you're on his tail that's all right. You know, Bush was for amnesty, and so what? Or will you remember all of this? This is part of globalism as well, breaking down the borders of this country. Let's go ahead and take a call. Trevor in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Good, sir.
I am a huge fan. I've listened to you for years. I just wanted to thank you for what you do. You're my hero. First of all, I just wanted to say that. I'm really nervous, so I apologize. I have a two-month-old son. He's our first child, and he's about to get his shots. He's scheduled to get them this week for the vaccines and stuff like that. And I really,
you know, that's kind of like Jews were scheduled to get on trains and go to Dachau and Auschwitz. And they're just like, oh, it's your scheduling. It's your time to ride the carousel in Logan's Run. I mean, just because they say it's scheduled, I mean, did they take his blood at birth for the Pentagon database?
I think so. I'm not real sure.
No, I mean, if he was born in a hospital, they did. I'm sorry. Go ahead and make your point.
We were trying to get him born in a birthing center. We had to move him to the hospital because it was a C-section, so I guess they did. But I just don't know what else to do. I mean, if I don't get his vaccine, what do I do? I mean, is there any other alternative I can do? I mean, I just kind of confused about it.
Well, there's a lot of lies out there. Dr. Dina Dell and others get up on the radio and say people that don't vaccinate should be arrested. Other parents should sue other parents that don't vaccinate because your child will then endanger them. Well, if they've had the vaccine, then how is your son not having it going to make them sick? Look, I've got three children. They've never had a needle stuck in their body. Now, does that mean that the science of vaccines doesn't have some validity and that I, you know, if we could trust them, maybe maybe vaccines might be okay. The issue is, sir, they have thimerosal, mercury, in them. The issue is it causes autoimmune diseases. It causes all sorts of problems. And if you, and they're always adding new shots. It's over 50 plus shots they want to give a child in the first 18 months now. Just a few decades ago, it was less than 15. These vaccine makers make a new vaccine. They come in and lobby state and federal government to, quote, make it mandatory. But that's another lie. It's not mandatory. It's a state health department policy. Then they try to threaten you and intimidate you into taking it. Why would you trust anybody that's trying to threaten and intimidate you into taking something that's not the law? Okay? And stay there. I want to come back and let you finish up if you've got any other questions or you see if that's clear. You know, you may die driving your son to the grocery store. You know, he may die from a bolt of lightning. I mean, you can't totally protect them, and you've got to make a cost-benefit analysis. Do you trust these globalists?
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, if you just tuned in, we were talking to Trevor in Tennessee, and he was saying, my two-month-old baby, it's time for him to get his scheduled shots. It's all routine. You know, the bank stealing trillions is routine, and DU being used by the troops that kills them is routine, and core exit's not bad for you. It's routine, and taking the troops, the dead troops' insurance money is routine, stealing it. And Bill Gates saying, yes, they're death panels. Kill granny and hire 10 teachers with the money. It's all routine. And world government being announced is all routine. The issue is vaccines, most evidence shows, are bad for you overall. Yeah, there's some deadly disease killing a bunch of people, and it's a stopgap measure. It's shown that it can help. But they're coming out with hundreds and hundreds of vaccines, and these mega companies, these multi-billion dollar companies, are lobbying to make you take everything they produce. And then they get caught lying and saying it's the law, you've got to take it. They try to pass laws to make it the law while they lie and say it's the law. I mean, do you trust a liar? I got something really good here for you. And then in all their real studies and admissions, 10 times increase in seizures and epilepsy. Get permanent epilepsy from these shots. That's London Telegraph, AP Reuters. I mean, that's the actual data. Massive increases in cancer. Read the vaccine inserts. Read it. I mean, don't believe me, please. But yes, could your son get the measles and maybe be, you know, one out of tens of thousands that get really sick or even die from it? Yeah, it could happen. Could your son get whooping cough and statistically, die from it? Yeah, but you've got many times, just go do the numbers of being struck by lightning or dying in a car wreck or drowning. If you look at the numbers, like on firearms, many more people drowned than they do die from guns, but they demonize guns in the name of public safety. Car wrecks, number one cause of death until you're about 55, then it's cancer and heart attacks. Those two duel for the number one slot every year. Some year it's heart attacks, some years it's cancer, but generally it's one or the other. So that's like people who call me and they say, should I buy gold? Because the government could just come and confiscate it. Well, yeah, the government could try to come and put you in a slave camp and make you build widgets for them. In fact, through color of law, they create all these nonviolent crimes as an excuse to put you in a slave factory for 25 cents an hour. And then all these people outside the prison losing their jobs, they can't get $6 an hour, $7 an hour jobs. They wonder why that's happening. It's because they're competing with prisoners for 25 cents an hour. So you got to think all of this through. But going back to vaccines, it's a decision you have to make. The Japanese, it's got to be more than a decade ago, made it a rule, no vaccination until age 2. Because they found completely that this stuff causes neurological problems, autoimmune problems, but it's much worse when a little bitty baby has all these shots going in them. By the time they grow up and get bigger and get some cognitive development, it won't stunt them as much. Here's my final point that I'm going to go back to you. They have put out two federally funded studies in the last 6 years that I've seen. I'm sure there's more. Saying mercury is now good for your brain. Now that's as asinine as saying shooting yourself in the head with a 357 Magnum at point-blank range in the temple is good for your brain. If being dead is good for you. But you see, these eugenicists love their own little language, their own little scientist slash lawyer speak. When you actually read, they say cognitive enhancement is being brain dead, having a, you know, a lower IQ. Cognitive enhancement is being dumbed down and servile. That's an enhancement for their goals. And if you're a new listener, I'm not going to play it again. I probably played it 200 plus times. I can play a newscast right now where they say mercury has been found in the Journal of Pediatrics to improve children's cognitive. In fact, they won't believe it. Pull it up again. We'll just play it. I mean, it'll probably be the 210th time or something. I haven't counted. I mean, because this stuff is, I've got MSNBC saying lead is good for babies. I mean, you can search that term. They are training you to accept the absurd. Yes, we're growing the opium in Afghanistan, and if we catch you with it in the U.S., you'll go to prison for a decade. You know, we've got to make it illegal. That's how we keep the price up. Now, we're going to ship it in, you're going to pay us, and then we're going to let local cops bust you and put you in a slave factory. I mean, it's all very elementary. And so how can you trust this group that's been caught lying, been caught sterilizing people through the vaccines? The UN's been caught over and over again, and we have their own documents. Here's the clip, and I'm going back to the call. Here it is.
Mercury-containing vaccines may have on kids.
A life-saving device wins over-the-counter approval by the FDA.
And sick of your glasses and contact lenses, a new corrective eye surgery is approved today. Here's tonight's medical headlines with Medical Watch reporter Seema Mathur.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm, kids, according to two new studies in the Journal of Pediatrics. There have been widespread concerns that mercury-based preservatives in vaccines might impair the neurological development of children. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Okay, improved behavior and mental performance. Now, notice they mixed it in with, oh, a new corrective eye surgery is available. We're going to tell you about some great stuff. Mercury makes your brain work better. It's the most deadly heavy metal in all the major university studies. They've known this for over 100 years. You can search electron microscope mercury brain tissue. And regular heavy metals just go in and kill the cells they touch. Then plaques form and the body kind of encapsulates it. But it causes some brain damage. Not mercury. You ever seen the 1978 film Alien? When they're trying to cut the alien off the guy's face and the one drop of acid drips and burns through three levels of the spaceship? When you watch electron microscope footage, in fact, guys, just search it right now. Mercury in brain tissue, electron microscope. We can put it up on screen. It's on YouTube. It causes an electrochemical explosion. It goes up against a neuron. It explodes because they're electrochemical, and then it moves on. It just keeps eating through your brain with pleasure. Just keeps savaging and savaging and savaging and savaging. And then I'm up here going, mercury's not good for you, and I'm the conspiracy theorist. And by the way, when you eat mercury in fish, most of it is passed, and it's biologically bound. When they inject industrial with these nanoparticles of it into the blood, it goes right through the blood-brain barrier. The body's designed to block heavy metals. We're beautifully designed. Not when you shoot your baby up with it. Okay, I'm going to stop ranting because I wanted to get to a lot of calls. But Trevor, you brought up a very important question, so I tried to spend 10 minutes on it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I really, really appreciate that. I appreciate your time. I guess I'm just not going to do it. I mean. But when he comes old enough to go to school, I mean, would that be a problem?
They are criminals. They are hardcore criminals. Again, they lie to you and say it's the law, he must take the shots. They lied to you and said there wasn't mercury until we forced it out in the open. And now they say, okay, mercury's there, it's good for you. Then they're going to lie when he goes in school and say it's the law, your child can't be in the school without shots. And you say, I know you've got the waiver. It's not even a law, but it's a waiver to a non-law. I know you've got a waiver that I'm supposed to fill out. So they make a list of you, but courts have even shown you can not even do that. And then they'll lie to you again because they're getting money when they hit your kid with a weapon from the feds. That's tied to the federal money they're given. They have quotas. They've got to get 97% or more vaccinated or they don't get their money. Then the school nurse or the principal is going to lie and say, there's no such thing. And then you can already have Googled your state. You're calling from Tennessee. Tennessee vaccine waiver, conscientious objector, religious objector. And you can go, really, principal or assistant principal? Here's the waiver for Tennessee. You lied to me. And see, you'll know you're there with a hardcore liar. Again, lying trash. An entire government and corporate system trained to lie. And these teachers take their kids and inject them with the mercury, too. And they love the fact that in many schools, a third of the school is now special ed. And there's just giant warehouses of children wearing football helmets, literally, because they bump their heads in the walls and in wheelchairs and in diapers. And they put taser belts around them in the public schools now. When they don't mind, they zap them. And they love it. They just love all of it. And soon the whole school will be in the corner drooling. And by that point, they can just start euthanizing everyone. They are just savagely, chemically hurting us as bad as they can so they can make us submit and then just come in and have the helicopters fly over and spray the nerve gas and kill everybody. They're just getting everybody ready for that. Okay, that's hardcore truth, buddy. Listen, those are criminals when they lie to you and try to force those vaccines. You understand that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I appreciate your call. I mean, this isn't a game, ladies and gentlemen. Even if you think vaccines are good, is it okay the government lies about all this to get you to take them? I'm in a bad mood now, boy. Sam and Mash, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Well, before I get into what I want to talk about, I just wanted to quickly point off two things about vaccines since you're talking about that. One thing that people need to understand is if you look at the Amish community, the vaccine...
Zero autism in groups of more than 300,000 studied in Illinois alone. Zero. Zero.
The article I read said one in 100,000, and that one person who had it got a vaccine. So, yes, zero.
That must have been another study. I've seen the Illinois study.
You look at the vaccine rates, the autism rates in America, one in 75 now. There it is. That's all the...
And it was one in 25,000 in 1985. You can pull those numbers up.
Crazy.
Oh, no. Listen, their goal... is just pretty soon, if you can tie your shoelaces and focus, you're going to be bowed down to as like the brain ant, the brain bug. I mean, this is their plan. I've got all their documents. You know what it's like knowing this? Stay there. You got another point. We'll get to you, then we'll get to everybody else. We're going to come back after break. I mean, you know what it's like every day knowing this stuff? Having them lie and say, there's no death panels. And they've had them in Europe for decades. Now they're here. Now they're telling the government bureaucrats, if you want your job, we got to kill people. We got to kill Granny. And they got the case for killing Granny. And it's like, how moral. It's so moral to kill Granny. It's so moral to steal the death benefits of dead troops. It's so moral. What if I say I will never surrender? What if I say I'm not going to have a bunch of lying, murdering criminals inject me and poison my water? Well, I'm going to be called a conspiracy theorist. Really, I can play Bill Gates like I did yesterday, saying, yeah, don't give care to an old lady and hire 10 teachers, training the public that by killing people, you get jobs. This is what happens when they control the resources. Going back to Sam and Mass, what was your point, Sam?
I've been studying Revelations now for 16 years, as often as a human breathes, and I know you're just the same way, Alex. You got that same bug in you to study truth. And when I lay in bed at night, my brain it's so complicated and so horrific over the things that I've learned over the years. I just want everyone listening to understand that the things you cover, Alex, are so kindergarten, so basic, so fundamental. It's not conspiracy theory. It's absolutely fact.
Well, that's the issue, is you say, I think it's wrong that they're stealing the death benefits. This includes 6 million troops or veterans, and that's Bloomberg, and they just say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, even when it's admitted. It's a way to not make a moral decision about it and to just procrastinate and rationalize and live in denial. But we can't do that any longer. I appreciate your call, Sam. Carl in Texas, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for holding. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, man. I just try to type out my questions here because I want to be quick. First question, I just had three questions and one small point. Did you ever watch the JFK, the men who killed JFK from the History Channel? I did some...
Yeah, wasn't there like 8 parts or something?
Yeah, there was like 9 parts. They took out the last 3, but you can YouTube them. Guy, all the people that you talked about, they interviewed these people, and some of them are dead now because the documentary was done back in 98, I think. No, 2003, sorry. But some of them passed away, whatever, but incredible, deep. You should watch it. It's revealing. Even some of the attorneys that were defending... the guy who took over JFK's position, now I can't remember his name, when they assassinated him, who is the next person, the vice president who took over? I can't remember his name now.
It was Robert Kennedy.
Yeah, and well, of course they.
No, he was the attorney general.
Who was JFK's vice president?
Boy, I'm having a moment here. I should know that.
Don't worry about it.
We know it was LBJ. He became president.
Yes, that's what it was. That's who it was.
But who was the vice president for LBJ? That's the thing I don't know.
Well, you got to watch it. There's so much involved with it. They show you even the guy in the grassy knoll. They show you pictures, an outline picture of the dude who shot the guy. You just got to watch it. It's insanely accurate, incredible. I was shocked that even the History Channel put out something like that. But they took out certain chapters. Because Amazon.com, when you're reading the reviews, when you can order the DVD set, said, what happened to 789? But you can watch them on YouTube or some BitTorrent. Yeah. You can find it out some way. But I just wanted to find out if you watch it. If you haven't, please watch it. Anyone else can watch it. The second question is, I wanted to find out what happened with Jason Burmis. I haven't heard anything about him, so I don't know.
Let me go back and answer your first question. It was Hubert Humphrey. And I knew that. I don't know who the interim was, because that was who they had for the 1964 election, was Minnesota Senator Hubert Humphrey. But as for Burmis, I mean, he made the announcement. We made the announcement here. He was down here for 6 months when he made Fabled Enemies with Aaron and Rob. And he came down here and was intending, when he finished the film, to go back to New York. And so that's where he is. And I think I've answered that question like 50 times on air. So you must have missed it. But we are planning to have him back as a guest in the near future. I also want to have him fill in sometimes, but I don't think he's hooked up the proper internet to be able to fill in, because you've got to have a really good Skype connection to be able to do that. So I hope that answers your question. Let's go ahead now and take another call here. Jim in Kansas, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. Prison Planet member and first time caller. I wanted to tell you thank you very much for all that you do. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wonderful. I am a minister and a trained medical ethicist, and wanted to affirm basically what you're saying about the death panels. I have been on a number of medical ethics boards at hospitals, currently not serving because I've basically become absolutely disgusted. My training is as a Christian medical ethicist, and what they are teaching the doctors and nurses, they don't call them death panels, but basically that is the entire move in the medical arena, is to move to the area where human life, particularly at the end of life, really is meaningless.
I'll tell you what, stay there, Jim. We're going to come back to you after this quick break. Again, for those that don't know, it's bioethicist and bioethics, and the main schools, the ones that the government funds and promotes, is pure eugenics. Peter Singer is a bioethicist and says, babies are like mackerel. You should be able to abort kids till age 2. Kill 2-year-olds. That's the type of stuff they're pushing, and we'll explain it all on the other side. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the information war,
it's Alex Jones.
Okay, I'm going back to Jim, Jay, and many others that are patiently holding here in just a few minutes. But I want to try to succinctly explain in just a minute or two the phasing out of classical real medical care and the introduction of eugenics, death care. But one big issue here is, remember a year ago when they were trying to pass the health care plan? Into this year when they did pass it, 2010, they would lie and say, there's no boards that are going to cut your care. Sure, a few tests you don't need, we're not going to do that, but that's a conspiracy theory. People are like, well, here's the bill. here's Tom Daschle's book, here's all these bioethicists. And they'd say, conspiracy liars. Now they're all over TV going, of course, if police don't want to lose their job and if firemen don't and if medical workers don't, we're gonna have to kill people. We're going to have to deny them care. This started a few decades ago, but in the last decade, no major medical school in the Western world even gives the Hippocratic Oath of Hippocrates, do no harm. I mean, that's all you need to know. They didn't need bioethics boards. They created these out of the eugenics movement after Hitler made them look bad. That's their words. And it's all in this liberal loving, oh, hi, you deserve the care and you're going to get the care you need. In the last 100 years, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegies and others went tax-free. They took over almost all the major research hospitals and regular hospitals. They made them tax-exempt, and then they don't pay any taxes. They pay their doctors and nurses a low amount of money, and then they keep the money. Then they lobby for Medicare and Medicaid. Then they lower the standard. Now they're going purely to eugenics. Where, oh, you had a heart attack? Here's an aspirin, like they do in Cuba. That's the system. Oh, you're going blind? Here's a cane. I mean, that's literally what they do. This is what's being proposed. But remember, they lied to you and said, this is crazy. We're not, that's not going on. Come on, what do you, we wouldn't do something like that to you. Oh, we're putting stuff in the vaccines. We're like, well, here's all your own documents. Well, it is needed for the earth. So that's what's going on here. And you have these bioethics boards or medical ethics boards in these hospitals. Some are good, some are bad. But the feds are now fully taking control of those policies and making them pure eugenics. And this is here. And all these yuppies and all these trendies that go, there are too many people and we should get rid of people. Well, you can just see a big crosshair right on them. See, they think they're members of the elite. Look at the record numbers of yuppies that just warehouse mama or papa. Mama has a stroke when she's 77, 75, sometimes even 50. You just stick mama in a nursing home in another state, and then right after insurance runs out a few years later, mama dies. Mama, because they recommended she go to hospice. Mama was, I don't know what happened. Mama was going down every day with her friends and playing dominoes and watching TV, and mama was happy. But mama, then they recommended the bioethicist that she need to go to hospice because she might have cancer. And then they put mama on drugs, and then mama died. Then they falsify the death certificate. They dehydrate them. This is going on. This is admitted even in major news reports by Wesley J. Smith and others who've gone out and detailed these cases. And people just warehouse their parents and, oh, well, they're old. Their standard of living isn't good. Go ahead and let them die. You know, the case for killing granny. In fact, put that cover of Newsweek back up for folks. People won't believe this. Oh, we don't want death panels. We just want to kill your grandma. And then what's next? Your child, your dad had a criminal record. So we're saying that genetically that means you may be a criminal. It's all quackery in the U.S. and England. We're going to start putting you on probation at age 2. An extrajudicial CPS probation. Oh, now we need to put you on drugs. Now they're announcing the troops come home and get sick. They're just denying them regular care. They tried last year to make the troops buy their own insurance. Remember that? They don't just not like you and don't care if you die. They want you dead. Do you understand that? These are killers. Now I'm going to go back to the caller here in just a moment. I wanted to tell you about purewaterfreedom.com. Speaking of a way to protect yourself and your family, if you want to affordably remove fluoride and other toxics and chemicals, toxins and chemicals, visit purewaterfreedom.com. That's one word, purewaterfreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. So they have tabletop units, whole house. They got it all. It's all made in America, by the way. They have a wide variety of filters that remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower, bath filters. All the filters are made in the USA. Check out their banners at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com or go to PureWaterFreedom.com today to take control of your water supply. PureWaterFreedom.com or trust the government and enjoy the tap water. Because after all, mercury's good for you. You heard the news earlier say so. It must be true. And if you don't think mercury's good for you or if you don't think sodium fluoride's good for you, even though all the studies admit it's deadly, and I mean, that's why most of the women I know have got a thyroid problem. Their hair's falling out at 30 years old. But hey, you know, it's good for you. You know, don't listen to me. I'm sorry. How dare me even get up here and criticize it? We need to make way for the Rockefellers and their filthy family to have the whole planet to themselves. And one of their great sponsors, eFoodsDirect.com, they're running this special till the 27th. They have only done this special one other time in the past, and they're having price increases because of the economy and the cost of food. High-quality, storable foods. Till the 27th, you can buy three and get one free of any of their food packages. 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com. You'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. And last but not least, we fund a lot of our operation, not just with sponsors, but sales of books and videos. They are selling out quick. We had about 1,200 copies of Jesse Ventura's American Conspiracies, excellent book covering a wide range of topics, big, beautiful. In fact, here it is. Easy to read, but well-documented hardcover book. You can get this free when you order one copy of The Obama Deception for $19.95. This book's $24.95. Okay? I mean, you understand that? That is a super deal, and your purchase makes this broadcast possible. So, again, I want to give you the toll-free number. It's 888-253-3139 to call and order, or Infowars.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. We've got a bunch of other specials and things also on the site. And don't forget, we're exposing Bill Gates and the death panels and the rest of the story. The key search term today that we want you to help us make number one is Gates death panels. And by the 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock central, it should be the number one search term. It normally takes about 3 hours after we plug a search term for it to become number one. So Gates death panels, I want to commend everybody that's been exposing this. And by making it the top search term, literally, conservatively, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of additional people will then go read the story by Kurt Nemo and Paul Watson that is up on Infowars.com with the headline, Bill Gates death panels is only the tip of the iceberg. So please search that term. Gates death panels, three words. Okay, thanks for holding, Jim in Kansas. You're a medical bioethicist or ethics person. Explain how the boards work, the changes that are happening, and why you couldn't sit there on the. I guess you didn't like being outvoted every time to basically cut people's food and water off or to not give people the medical care that was due to them?
Basically, yes, Alex. As I said, I'm a Christian medical ethicist. I've been trained at a Christian divinity school. I'm a minister as well. My master's is in medical ethics. And sitting on the boards, basically you have a bunch of, you have some doctors, you have some nurses. You have the boards that I've sat are mostly filled with the management of the hospital. And so what they tend to do is they tend to vote or what is going to benefit the hospital financially the most.
So if somebody's got the best insurance in the world and you only need two heart stents, they're going to put 14 in and basically kill you. A lot of cases of that. But if you don't have insurance or on Medicare or Medicaid, they'll just give you the minimum care, whatever makes them the biggest profits, but cut off anything that the government is telling them to cut off to keep getting their funding. And if you're a charity care case, they'll lie to you and not tell you there's charity care.
Absolutely. The thing that kind of broke my back was I sat and tried to educate this board about the proper way to deal with our elderly who are indigent. And basically I was told, well, that will never happen here at our hospital. And a month later, one of my parishioners, because I was I'm a pastor as well, it actually occurred to that person in that hospital. And I couldn't deal with it anymore.
Well, you're not telling us the name of the hospital or the person's name, so you can give us some specifics. What'd they do to him?
Well, basically, this person was an elderly person, needed some specialized care. They were in the hospital for some serious things. This person was in her mid-90s. She needed specialized care at home or in a nursing home that would really take care of her. And basically, they didn't even inform the family as to what was necessary, released her to home to be by herself and to go and die because they didn't want to be on the hook
Yeah, let's be clear. They knew that she needed care or she was going to die, just like somebody who's been hit by a car. They're bleeding. A doctor comes up. They know they can be fixed, but it might cost money. So go ahead and let the guy die. Plus, we can harvest his organs. But in her case, they just released her to home to die. And of course, they have spies in the hospitals hooked into the health department. We've confirmed this, that when a wealthy person is old and sick, they'll actually send CPS in and claim the family's abusing them to have the state make them a ward, just like they steal kids, and then they suck that money out.
It's just amazing. Like I said, I sat there. I went to this woman's home. I'm very familiar with the case. This is a hospital in Texas. I was in Texas before I came to Kansas, in one of the larger cities, just outside one of the largest cities in Texas.
And they didn't even tell the family, take your mama somewhere else. We're refusing her care. They just said, send her home. Bye-bye, Bluebird. And on these yuppies, are like, good, kill that old lady. Well, they're going to be old soon, or they're going to be in a car wreck soon, and they're going to be too stupid to even know they got soft killed.
Well, and that's exactly it, and why when I moved and made a transfer of churches, I haven't even looked into getting on one of the medical ethics boards here.
Look, I know it's painful. That's why I stay away from the CPS stuff. I used to go out in person to these, and it would make me break down crying after I would watch. I mean, I opened the hospital door with Mike Hansen, and the cop was choking the woman, saying, sign the paper, and it totally flipped me out, and I was like at this point of about to do something, but then I knew I had to continue my work. So then just the pain of being in my car, I sobbed like a baby. And I might sob like that once every 10 years. I didn't sob like that when my grandmother died, watching the demonic entities enjoy themselves, hell being created on earth. And then the woman was innocent, had done nothing. It was so incredible. It tore my guts out, but you can't give up. I would say become a crusader, like Wesley J. Smith and other bioethicists and others. I would say be on all the boards you can be. But the main thing is this conflict of interest. You've got these private hospitals, charity hospitals, government-funded, all of them are somewhere or another government-regulated. And no one really knows the big truth you just put out that's publicly available, that there's a conflict of interest. You'll have, 10 people on a board, but you can convene with 6, depending on how it's set up, because some will be out of the town or whatever. And 3 of them or 4 of the 6 are hospital administrators, and they want the money. Whether it's give you more care than you need, because they're going to get money because you got good insurance, or whether just get this person out of here to die, we don't want to take care of them, when they've got a big, fat charity care account, and now they're not even teaching the doctors that they're supposed to donate 25 to 33% of their time to free health care. That's how America took care of poor people, is doctors are supposed to provide free care. And then the infrastructure, equipment, and material, that's paid for with the charity money and with the increased prices for people that are wealthy. Again, you're a bioethicist. Is that not correct?
Yes, that's correct, Alex.
So that old, beautiful system is being dismantled. Only the illegal aliens now are told about the charity care. They know, they walk in, I'm having my baby, give me everything, I'm the boss. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to call my group over, which is whatever, that's fine, health care. But then citizens aren't even told, and there you were as a bioethicist in Texas on the board, and they said, we're not going to take care of this old lady, we're not even going to tell her family she's going to die, send her home. I mean, that is murder, basically.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Doctors are no longer trained to be caregivers. And even, the nurses were caregivers for a while, and my wife's a nurse. She's been a nurse for 30 years. She's been in management, has managed an entire hospital.
And they're training them to not be caregivers, and the Hippocratic Oath and the honor of being a caregiver, a hospitaler, that's where that term comes from, helping the sick, giving your time. I mean, my dad enjoys doing the charity care he does. He likes it because he's a human being, and that's what he's meant to do. But now they never tell the public that doctors are supposed to do part of their care for free, so they're phasing that out, so you're going to get government death care instead, run by private bureaucrats and big mega HMOs.
And it's even in some cases worse than that, Alex, with respect to the doctors. My wife currently works in the town that we're in the local county jail as a nurse. And one of the things that's blown me away is the indigent people, the people that just do not have the money to pay, who have now been arrested, and she is one She screens these people as they come in, so she finds out what they've been arrested for. The numbers that have been arrested because they haven't been able to pay their medical bills.
Oh, and yeah, that was in the news lately. The debtor prisons are back, and they're arresting people for medical bills. Under federal law, they're not even allowed to give you a ding on your credit for medical bills, but they're now doing that. And absolutely, they are arresting people. I've seen cases of a woman arrested for not paying a $5 bill that she wasn't even aware of. In fact, guys, Google that. The poorhouses are now in the U.S., people being arrested for unpaid bills. We'll put a news article on screen for folks. So they're now, please continue.
Oh, in the last 2 months, my wife's been there for the last year working. She has brought home and told me of, she works night shift, of about 6 to 8 cases, and she's told me of people, and we're talking bills of $30, $40, $50, and they have arrested them, and basically it's not because they've not paid the bill, but because they haven't paid the bill that the judge ordered them to pay, so it's the order that of the judge that they're being arrested for because they haven't done it.
But top constitutional lawyers have been in the news saying this is really illegal.
Oh, and Kansas, the state that we're in our Constitution, it says there shall be no debtor prisons. In the state Constitution, and I am just floored. I have started...
No, sir, it's pure evil. You know what? This call is so important. Stay there, Jim, and then we'll get to Jay and a few others. We've got Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo coming in to talk about a host of issues. Of course, host of the UFC here tonight in Austin, Texas. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other side with the continuation, talking to this bioethicist. And I've had a lot of other well-known bioethicists on to say the same thing. Coming up in about 6 minutes, Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo are in studio with us. We're going to talk about, well, the nature of reality. We're going to talk about the way the public's being desensitized. We're going to discuss, I went and watched Joe's routine last night. He was talking about a lot of points I've made. And I was like, Joe, I feel like I'm almost stealing your material, though. I've never heard it. He goes, no, that's just what everybody's thinking at a subconscious level, that they knew that when they tested the atomic bomb in 1944 secretly, they knew there was a chance it could ignite the atmosphere. In fact, the majority of physicists and meteorologists on the Manhattan Project thought that it was going to ignite the entire Earth's atmosphere, but they went ahead and hit the red button. So I want to get Joe to talk about that and discuss that and understand with genetic engineering and all of this, that's what the globalists are doing today. They're just at CERN and everywhere else, these superconducting, super colliding cyclotrons. They're just pressing buttons, pulling levers and going, this might make a black hole. Let's do it. Let's make an artificial sun. Let's do it. I mean, they are, instead of just hitting one red button, they're like monkeys as fast as they can, just flipping every switch. So we'll be discussing that. But this hardcore issue with Jim in Kansas, who's a medical bioethicist, and he just can't be part of it as he watches them basically killing people. And this is going on, and they mean to do this to basically everyone alive today. In the future, even if you have good insurance, you're going to be denied care, and the federal government's going to tell you what that new care is. But you had some other points, Jim, you wanted to make as the break cuts you off. You were talking about debtor prisons. Did you guys ever find the articles about debtor prisons are back in the U.S.? Or people are arrested for not paying bills? Let's put that on screen because folks won't believe that. But go ahead. We've got about 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left. Finish your point, sir.
I just want to make two real points. One, I ended up facing an ID theft, and so we had ended up with a bunch of stuff. And I learned how to deal with these people when they're coming at you, and I would encourage other people to really look into how to deal with them, because if you don't answer some complaint that the judges send out or that they send out, they are coming after people. And in this economy, it's just absolutely incredible, and we've seen it. And all of this is being done based upon Beauchamp and Childress's medical theory of the principle of justice. And it's really interesting how justice has been perverted. It is no longer justice for each individual, but it is a collective justice that is really, perverted, really, justice for the folks at the top. And I see it again and again. I want to encourage, and I encourage my parishioners, and I want to encourage everybody that is involved in any sort of medical care, and we all are, to be heavily involved in your Medicare. Do not just trust what the doctors say. Ask question after question after question, because if you do not, you will be railroaded.
Well, all I can say is great job, Jim, and I know it's painful to see them killing people and doing it through this legalese, just like the Nazis did. That's how they started out in the 30s. And it's up to you to go to the newspapers, to go public. I mean, we've got to warn people that this is going on, and they're now trying to standardize it and trying to accelerate the culture of death and the death panel conversion within the hospitals, and they're counting on people not standing up to this. I mean, in a year, they've gone from denying it to saying, you know, Bill Gates, the clip we played yesterday, saying, yeah, kill the old lady, just like the cover of Newsweek, the case for killing Granny, and hire 10 teachers. And so they're creating the illusion that it's a sum game, and by cutting services, you get a better society. And in the 50s, they developed algorithms on this. In closing, when McDonald's said, we'll put out thank you trash cans, and people will throw their own trash away, and we'll keep that as profit, and it actually lowers the culture of service, and people think they're getting a better deal. It's like self-checkouts and everything, but really you're only destroying the economy and jobs that people are going to have. So it's all scientifically designed. So it's the same thing with healthcare. You know, we're going from the Ritz-Carlton to McDonald's healthcare. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We were talking about some really hardcore issues in the last hour. Joe Rogan is in town to host the UFC tonight. He's also a comedian, social commentary, a lot of really interesting ideas. I've known Joe for more than a decade, and for a couple of years I've known Eddie Bravo. And of course, he's a very well-known jiu-jitsu expert and has gyms all over the country and the world, right? Don't you have some outside the U.S.?
Yep, couple. Sweden, Australia, Canada.
Well, it's good having you here, and it was good seeing you last night. There's so much to talk about. Obviously, Joe Rogan of News Radio, Fear Factor, The Man Show, the list goes on and on, UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship. You've been doing that pretty much since the start, haven't you?
I started working for the UFC in 1997. I was the post-fight interviewer.
So, yeah. 13 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
In fact, I remember like in 99 talking to you and you're like, man, this UFC is going to be huge. And I never even heard of it. It's going to be bigger than the NFL.
Yeah, everybody was like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Yeah, it's now, look at it, it's giant. And it's in Austin, Texas, Alex Jones. It's right here.
You know, when I was with Ventura last week, one of the guys from the company that does stuff for UFC was there, and he was going to interview Brock Lesnar right after that when he was on the shoot with us. And so old Brock's back bigger than ever, huh?
Yeah. Well, he had, diverticulitis. You know what that is?
That's when your intestines get basically inflamed.
Well, it's, from eating just, he's so psycho. He only eats meat. He didn't eat vegetables. So he would, protein would get...
That's what John Wayne had, supposedly 40 pounds of undigested meat in him, yeah.
Isn't
that
like
No, he had really bad diverticulitis. And you've got how many hundreds of feet of intestine? Yeah, and it just basically...
Yeah. Well,
that's a nice way to start the interview.
Brock's back. That's the point. What?
But is he now eating his vegetables?
Yes, he's now eating fiber and broccoli and all the things you need to make sure that your digestive tract is clean. It's very important. But you realize that as you get older? As I get older, I get excited about when I eat salads. I'm going, I'm going to have a good poop now because I had a good salad.
Okay, Joe, family show.
Say that? You can't say poop?
You can't say anything.
Really?
I'm just joking. Okay, getting serious here. Now that we've talked about Brock Lesnar's digestive tract, last night you were really making a lot of points that I thought were right on. Let's get into the red button.
The red button.
You were talking about how if there's a red button, they're going to hit it.
Well, you know what I was saying is that I believe that all human behavior is natural, just like I believe that all animal behavior is natural. Bees make beehives and ants make anthills, and these are all natural things. humans are far more complex, but we don't think of ourselves as being natural, that we're moving in a natural direction. And I think that human beings and human society, especially with technology, I think we create technology and innovation. That's what we're here for. And it's very possible that what human beings are here for is to make some new reality, make some new technological innovation that's going to change the world. And it could be a Big Bang machine. It could be a time machine. It could be just some incredible discovery, something that they're going to invent eventually. I mean, if they keep going with things like the Large Hadron Collider, they're not going to stop there. They're going to use whatever findings that they get from the Large Hadron Collider, if it doesn't blow up the world, and they're going to try the next thing. Well, what happens now?
The goal is blow up the world.
Well, I don't know what the goal is. I mean, that's just the joke. The joke is that we're here to make the Big Bang machine, and that there's a reset button that gets pressed every 15 billion years, and that these intelligent monkeys get to a point where they break down matter and try to figure out what is at the center of the universe. And they press that button, and it restarts all over again. I mean, who knows? It's just speculation.
But you also made another really good point. We come back from this quick break. You were talking about a case on Fear Factor of where you had these hundreds of thousands of bees out and what happened while this was going on, correct?
Yeah, it was kind of cool because we'll
stay there. We got to go to break.
Okay.
When we come back, tell that story, and we'll talk.
Okay.
We'll get Eddie Bravo's view on the world and give out his website and stuff. I'm really glad to have both you guys here.
I'm glad.
Great to be here, man.
As well.
All right, and we're going to make Joe stand in the corner for saying...
poop.
I'm just joking around, folks. Really good seeing you guys. You know, we went out and ate some steaks last night. I hope we don't end up like Brock.
Yeah, we picked out.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Eddie Bravo, Joe Rogan in studio with us, and they're going to have, this is the kind of undercard, minor leagues of FC, UFC tonight?
No, these are all mainstream major league guys. It's just a spike fight night, and what it is the Ultimate Fighter premieres tonight, and so they have a live fight show on Spike TV, not pay-per-view, it's Spike TV, but...
And I've read some of these are supposedly the best fights, because it's...
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, I mean, they're very well matched up. I mean, tomorrow the matchups are intense. The main event is Husamar Palhares, who's one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in MMA, taking on Nate Marquardt, who's one of the most well-rounded guys in MMA. So it's a big event. Marquardt's fought for the title before, and he's certainly a top 10 contender. So it's a big fight.
Wow. Guys, both of you, fire out your websites.
JoeRogan.net.
10thPlanetJJ.com.
10th Planet.
JJ.
Jiu-Jitsu.
Yep. .com. Man, I see your 10th Planet shirts and stuff everywhere. I mean, I'm all over the country. I'll see people wearing 10th Planet stuff or talking about it. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, how many gyms do you have?
25, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, aren't you one of the best known jiu-jitsu teachers?
He won't toot his own horn, so I'll say yes. He's one of the most innovative and important jiu-jitsu instructors in the country. It sounds like BS because he's my best friend, but it really is true. He's one of the most important. He's just smokes a lot of weed and comes up with crazy jiu-jitsu moves, and it turns out they work.
And I'm also known as a conspiracy theorist freak. So
that's right. He's
more of a conspiracy theorist freak than me.
Well, you need to go to prison for smoking marijuana, both of you.
Calm down.
I'm against that. Hey, have you seen him on the news admitting that our troops are helping grow the opium? They go, yes, we're helping grow it, and yes, the Bin Laden videos were fake, but we're still going to continue to put you in prison.
Well, I thought it was fascinating that the brother of the president of Afghanistan was receiving money for years from the CIA, and it was revealed, and it's like barely a story. And this guy is in the opium business.
He's the top opium man in the world.
The guy's the president of Afghanistan, his brother is an opium dealer who gets money from the CIA, and it's like barely investigated, barely talked about, you know?
Okay, Alex, explain something to me. How does the opium trade actually work as far as our troops are concerned?
Okay.
How does that work?
This is what's going on in Mexico. 6 years ago, I was told by Celia Castillo and others who'd been in the DEA, they said, you're going to see a huge war down there. There's four cartels that aren't paying their money to the CIA and laundering their money. Like Tony Montana, he was good. He went to the local bank and laundered it, and they left him alone. You know, of course, that's fiction, but the screenwriter on that, Oliver Stone, went and actually studied real cases. So it's a composite of true stories. So I was told years before the 28,000 have now been killed that you're going to see a war down there as globalist-backed Los Zetas go in and start killing local police, mayors, anybody that doesn't basically submit to them. So it's a war over who gets the drug money, not a war on drugs. So in Afghanistan, real Taliban got in. You know, they were nuts, but they were real. Opium production went down over 90%. Now it's up 12 times its previous record. It's flowing out, and the U.S. troops protect the opium. They put this on the news because if they don't, Al-Qaeda will get the money. And no, I'm serious. I mean, I played a clip of Fox News, Geraldo, saying how patriotic it is to grow opium. But
what?
You think I'm joking.
Come on.
Guys, cue it up.
Oh, let's see this.
Well, you're only here for an hour because you've got to go
see it. I want
at the weigh-ins at 2:30.
Yes, but I have to see that.
Well, we'll go into overdrive then.
Yesterday, today, is I just have to do some interviews, and then the fight started four.
Is that ESPN stuff or Spike?
No, it's Spike TV and some stuff for UFC.com.
Okay.
Alex, but how do the Americans get paid for the opium is what I'm saying. How does that work?
It gets the... Okay, 1999.
Rivera.
Yep.
Can we hear him?
You guys would have to have headphones on.
Oh, well,
look, I just played it yesterday. During the break, I'll play it for you. Okay. How's that sound?
Sounds
okay.
Good.
Okay, listeners have seen it.
Exactly. Word for word.
Geraldo Rivera's a shill. Is he a shill?
I don't know.
He was the guy who introduced the, he was the one who had the Zapruder film first on television.
The word is he knows all about this stuff, but yeah, at Fox News, he didn't really get into
it.
What
did he say? What are Geraldo?
He goes, I'm out here with the colonel, and they're out here helping them grow the opium. And the colonel's like, that's right. We give them the seeds and the fertilizer.
What?
Yeah.
But what do they say? How do they explain to the public that it's legit? I mean, what are they saying? We're giving them the seeds, we're planting it, and we're protecting it. Why?
Because if we don't, Al-Qaeda will grow it and get the money.
That's really the excuse they use? That's genius.
During the break, you can walk out there and listen to it. Because you don't have headphones and we weren't going to take calls.
YouTube this clip?
Yeah, another it's on. They put it on Fox.
What's
Fox is like, we grow the opium, it's of the Lord.
Geraldo Rivera, opium, Afghanistan, what are we punching? What are the keywords?
Look at him, he's showing them.
What's the name of that clip so I can just give him?
This is huge.
Yes, it's We Tolerate. We
Farmers Hostage.
There's Lieutenant Colonel Brian Christmas, 2nd Line Company, 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines.
What's incredible is that no one even questions it. There is literally more than 90% of the world's opium supply comes from Afghanistan, and essentially the U.S. government is in control of it now. And no one even brings it up. I mean, it's well known that the CIA has been involved in the drug trade. If you just look into it, look into the Barry Seals case, look into, you know, what happened in Mena, Arkansas, look into all these different guys that have talked about the
guys, will you bring my compromise book in here? It's Terry Reid, Clinton Bush, compromise, Clinton Bush and the CIA. It's just sitting right there. I mean, he was there with all these people. Bill Clinton was coming, George Bush Sr.
It's just so strange that
this is a signed one, but
that's kooky talk, though. If you bring that up, if you start saying that, you know, you believe that the government is involved in drug dealing and that the government has been involved in bringing crack into inner city neighborhoods and using the profits to pay for black ops missions. I mean, that sounds like kooky talk.
Even though they had the 1996 hearings on C-SPAN where they admitted it.
Yeah, I mean, it is real. I mean, it really is real. The government has been involved in selling drugs.
Well, they're involved in creating monopolies. And so what they do is the corrupt colonels and generals, they get a big cut. I mean, most of these people that retire out of the military, you see these generals are living in $3 million houses on their, you know, $100,000 a year pension.
Wow.
And, you know, they got a mistress down the street in another mansion. I mean, you know, where's the money coming from? Well, it's coming from arms sales on the side, narcotics trafficking. I mean, our government is one giant murdering mafia.
It is fascinating to me that, like, so few people even know about, like, the Gulf of Tonkin incident and know that there was really a fake incident that got us involved in the Vietnam War. And people have just accepted that. Well, they've accepted that the government is willing to lie in order to get you into war. But so if they're willing to kill people and for whatever their own reasons are and have a fake event in order to kill people, you don't think they would sell drugs? Like, you think they would kill, they would have American soldiers killed. They'd basically put American soldiers to death over a lot.
No, the VA signed a secret deal that came out in Bloomberg yesterday with 6 million vets to, when they die, steal their insurance money. And the government says, it's legal. We have authorized it. I've got it right here in Bloomberg.
But isn't it fascinating that all this stuff is legal? I mean, isn't it fascinating, rather, that all this stuff is public knowledge, that all this stuff is anyone can go online and find out about Operation Northwoods. Anyone can go online and find out about the Gulf of Tonkin or read about Barry Seals or read about Michael Rupert and all the different things that he uncovered when he was working for the LAPD. But no one knows. And talking about it, you sound like a kook.
Totally. Speaking of sounding like a kook, a lot of people think I'm a kook for questioning what the hell's going on with chemtrails. What's your take on
chemtrails? Well, I've actually been working on a chemtrail film for 2 years. It's going to come out next year because I'll sell no wine before it's time. I've got to get it right with all the evidence. We have the patent where they add it to the jet fuel. So it's
barium and aluminum?
Yes. So it's dispersed. And that's just one of the programs, and it's all declassified. It's all in plain view. White House has press conferences that they're studying. This massive program is just the studying.
Yeah.
And that it's been going on since the early 1990s, and the guy won a Nobel Prize for it. And then most of the people that cover it, they just go off down the kooky road and never – and I can give them the pure evidence, and they won't look at that.
You know, the craziest thing is the chemtrail show on Discovery Channel. Have you seen this?
No.
They do it. They're going to find out once and for all, is this a hoax or is this real? So they hired a group of scientists, like these top scientists, they're going to study. And you know what they did? They took random fuel from a local airport, from a commercial airline fuel, and studied it to see if there was high levels of barium and aluminum. When no one is saying, like, Southwest and United is spraying, it's military jets that are doing this.
Well, there's a bunch of different programs.
But how weird is that they put that on TV, and then the final analysis was, the scientists came out and said, well, based on our analysis, there is no excess of barium or aluminum. These guys are they'll believe whatever they want, these conspiracy theorists, but we have the evidence, we have the tests. And they studied commercial airline fuel. Is that crazy? I mean, who put together this show?
Well, that's called a straw man. You know, it's like we're looking for a Bengal tiger, and so we went to the outback of Australia and didn't find one, so Bengal tigers don't exist. You're like, but you need to go to Bengal, India. It's where the Bengal tigers are at. So exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and they did that. They did. You know what it is? Nat Geo puts out these. Something with Nat Geo is connected with the government, because you watch anything.
No. National Geographic, you've all heard about how record numbers of missionaries turn out to be CIA. And
really?
Yeah, and record numbers of Peace Corps is a CIA cover.
You know, a lot of people will say
National Geographic is a eugenics organization, and they are one of the highest level CIA fronts.
I'm just going to say that a lot of people will say this is malarkey. A very good friend of mine, his father is in the CIA, and he didn't find out his father was in the CIA until he was in high school. He had no idea what his father did, and he had to travel all over the world. But his father was involved in that sort of business, and he was in the CIA entire time.
And another thing...
And he was involved with what kind of business?
Well, you know, I can't really say. I can't really talk about it too much.
But TV.
But he was doing, like...
Nature shows. Work, yeah.
Philanthropy work overseas, but really he was working for the CIA.
No, it's like, we've got injections for your little Africans. Oh, the little Africans died a week after. Oh, we're giving you a polio shot. Oh, it was live polio. Oh, it happens everywhere. We go, oopsie.
And they did another show on 911. They go, we're going to find out once and for all if 911 was a cover-up or whatever, a conspiracy. So they do all these stupid tests on these miniature buildings that they built. But they never discuss Tower 7. It was 2 hours. They never
discussed. Or they didn't show the video of police saying, get back, they're going to blow it up. We'll be right back with Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo. Eddie Bravo, the coolest name in the world. We'll be right back. Eddie Bravo, Joe Rogan in studio with us for the rest of the hour. This is a short segment. You guys had a chance to see at least part of the Geraldo Rivera piece.
It's incredible. Watching the soldiers, and I don't know what rank he was, but talking about how they are protecting and helping these guys grow opium because it's a part of their culture. Because if they don't, they would turn on the U.S. soldiers. So they're helping them grow opium. I mean, it was amazing.
But the Taliban was actually shutting it down.
The Taliban was shedding
before. Remember, that's why.
Well, why were they doing it? Because they wanted the money. Like what?
No. They were saying it was against Islam, so they were eradicating it. Poppy production went down to almost nothing right before 9/11. Then after the invasion, record production went up, and they helped them ship it out. Everything.
So the Taliban are good guys.
No, there were two Talibans. There was the original Mujahideen. I've had General Hamid Gul, the former head of Pakistani intelligence who ran it when they fought the Russians. That was the real Taliban. Then they created Al-Qaeda within it, which is the CIA group that they use to go out and do bad things and then blame on the Taliban.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the Taliban are good guys overall. I don't agree with their religious beliefs or how they treat women. The point is the real Taliban conquers the real IRA and the fake IRA. The real Taliban was eradicating all the poppies. So that was another reason for the invasion.
Well, that is a fascinating piece of video footage with Geraldo Rivera, you know, in the poppy field with the soldiers talking about the poppy fields and how they're protecting them and providing them fertilizer and
YouTube,
helping them
right?
grow it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. That it is incredible. Where is that money going? Who's getting it? How does it?
Well, they estimate it's $500 billion street value out of Afghanistan alone every year. Oh, Joe, don't take the Lord's name in vain.
I said God damn.
Okay,
good. I don't ever say
that. Okay, good. You're a spiritual guy. You actually believe in God.
Not necessarily. I don't believe in religion. I believe that all religions are the work of man. But I am not opposed to the idea of a higher power. You know, I think there's no way you could know, and there's no way I know whether there's a God or whether there's a grand plan or a grand designer of the universe. I don't think it's out of the question. Some of the things that I've experienced in my life, I mean, especially, I don't want to talk about psychedelic drugs, but they are, I believe, portals to other states of consciousness and other ways of looking at the world. And I think if you've experienced some of those things, a lot more things become possible. Like you think that a lot more things aren't out of the question. And that's how I look at the idea of God. I don't necessarily, I mean, I don't think it's, I have a feeling that it's not as simple as like there's a one dude who knows everything that's at the top of the heap. I think it's more like God is everything, that it's all connected, and there's like sort of like a grand design to the universe.
The Force?
Yeah, maybe the Force. I'm going with some Jedi Knight type stuff.
Yoda floating around up there on a cloud.
I don't say, you know, I mean, when you say you believe in God, well, anyone talks about the God of the Bible, and, you know, that's...
Well, I didn't mean to get us off into that, but Eddie had a question, and I actually don't want to be interviewed here, but he's like, no, finish up with the chemtrails.
You interviewing us about...
He's fascinated by chemtrails.
You interviewing us is like me interviewing the Pope about child molestation. You know what I'm saying? I want to ask you questions. Like what's up? What is your final take on chemtrails? 1 minute.
There is a wide spectrum of different operations. They're doing biological and chemical releases on the population to manipulate the environment. It's most of the programs are weather modification related. There are HARP antenna array programs with over-the-horizon radar systems. And I've had the head of HARP on, bizarrely enough, about 4 years ago, they contacted me and said, the director of the HARP program, directed radar system, would like to be on your show.
So what?
And I got him on.
HARP?
Well, listen, he started saying, we even ignite the atmosphere on fire. It's wonderful. It's like this brainiac, and suddenly a colonel comes on and cuts him off as we go to break, and the colonel's like, that's classified. We're going to end the interview right now if you bring up that. And so the military is really running things, but this scientist is the head of it. And people can pull that interview up. Alex Jones interviews the head of HARP.
So explain HARP, though, because I'm a little ignorant about it. I know that there's this...
That's just one big array up in Alaska, but they got a bunch of them, and they can manipulate the weather with these, not just the old-fashioned spraying barium salts or other nuclei or aluminum dioxide, but they can charge the atmosphere, but then by spraying these...
What are they doing? How are they charging it? What are they doing?
They've got giant antenna arrays, and they can even ignite the sky. They can even create artificial aurora borealis.
What's the antenna doing, though?
Like, there's a bunch of antennas.
It's basically giant microwaves.
Okay.
And they're just... And they're manipulating...
They're shooting microwaves up at the ionosphere?
Yes. Yes. But it's weather modification, and it's over-the-horizon radar.
What do you think about the conspiracy theories about a Katrina being a controlled hurricane? How the way it...
Multiple top meteorologists said it had two eyes for a while. It just sat there. It didn't act like a normal hurricane. And I've had the father of weather weapons on, who was flying into cyclones that are over 200 miles an hour in the 40s, Ben Livingston. And this is all declassified. This is like AP. And... Well, we're going to break, but to make a long story short...
We're going to break already?
Yeah, in 1967, it's a regular radio clock. There's like long segments, short segments. In 1967, Stanford Research Institute and the Naval Weapons Laboratory certified they can create and control hurricanes as easy as kiss my hand. We'll be right back.
from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, I told Eddie Bravo and Joe Rogan they're going to stop asking me questions because I want to talk to them. But Eddie's back with more questions. You wanted to get into Machete.
El Machete.
So you believe that the movie Machete with Danny Trejo is by the government designed to fuel a race war?
He's a superhero Mexican Home Depot guy. Beep that out. I'm sorry.
Okay. We took care of that.
Are we good?
Did we take?
Yeah, we did.
Sure.
Okay.
They're ready.
I feel like it got out.
No, it didn't.
I feel like that one might have.
Okay. Stop, guys. Come on.
Sorry, guys.
Come on.
It's this guy.
FCC,
anyway,
I love
so this movie is really a plot to explain what this movie's really all about?
Okay. A month and a half ago when the whole Moss thing started, I said it's CIA funded. I went and looked. Rockefeller Foundation funding it. The co-owner of Fox News funding the mosque. Then Fox News counters the whole Moss thing as a way to create division.
So they
now I think Rodriguez is being...
Get upset about it?
Yes. And it turns out Fox Studios is funding Machete. Okay, yeah. Fox Studios is funding Machete, and it's getting state funds to be made. And I got the script. Hispanic members of the crew were upset, saying this is going to really create division. It's a race war film. And I got the script, and then they came out and said, you don't have the script. That's not in the movie. And then it came out as word for word the script. And it starts with Robert De Niro being a racist white senator, killing a Hispanic lady who's pregnant, making fun of her dead baby. And the whole movie is, if you want any border control, as Mexico's collapsing into bedlam, if you want any control, I mean, there's 6.5 billion people. They all want to come here. It's over if that happens. I mean, especially when the government gives welfare, that's going to bankrupt the country. So the point is, if you are against totally open borders, you are a murdering Ku Klux Klan demon.
But this is definitely have to be a conspiracy. Isn't it possible that it's just a work of fiction, that there was a writer who thought it would be an interesting subject to cover and that people would get into it and that would be a popular film because there's so much controversy when it comes to the borders, and then maybe they just created it and thought that it would be economically viable.
No, no.
It was a fake movie trailer in the previous movie. Are you aware of this?
Yes.
And then people started. It was one of those movies with
Grindhouse.
Yes. It was a little movie trailer, and they decided to make a movie.
And then he put a trailer out calling it the Arizona trailer 4 months ago, and he said, oh, that's fake. None of that's in the movie. It's all in the movie.
The Arizona trailer being because of the border problems.
He says, this is a message to Arizona.
How hilarious is that dumb lady that's running Arizona, that Jan, whatever the hell her name is? Who's the governor of Arizona?
Well, Brewer.
Is that like Jan Brewer?
Yeah.
That lady is so dumb. Have you ever seen her on TV?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. When she was on the debate and she just paused, she didn't know what to say. She paused for like 10 solid seconds, said nothing. She makes up stuff about people getting their heads cut off over in Arizona, that Mexicans are coming over here and cutting people's heads off. And then they're like, where are these bodies? Like, what are you talking about? Like, they started investigating like coroner's reports.
Joe, that's the media spin right there.
So it's true. She's telling the truth?
No, a lot of people do get their heads cut off.
What about when she said that her father died in World War II because fighting the Nazis? Meanwhile, her dad like lived to be like an old man and was in the army in the 50s. He wasn't even in the army.
I wasn't aware of that.
It's a liar.
Listen, we're running out of time here.
Let me just say something. Uh-oh. I'm not a big fan, and Joe knows this. I hate super movies.
Oh! Eddie Bravo, come on, man. We're on the radio.
I'm sorry.
I can't bring him with me anymore.
No.
This is ridiculous. Sorry. He's not a professional.
I hate superhero movies. I hate I'm a Mexican. El Machete wasn't the greatest plot ever, but...
Wait a minute, what are you saying?
It wasn't the greatest plot ever, but, you know, as a Mexican, you can't relate to Spider-Man. That's a white nerd who, you know, and then Batman, a white billionaire. As Mexican people, we have nothing. Now we have something. You know, Superman, a white guy from another galaxy. Now we have El Machete. You know, for me, I've felt like...
Why couldn't it be a Mexican scientist? Who becomes the Incredible Hulk or something.
Yes.
No.
The Mexican superhero hacks up gringos.
People up with an axe? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's a Mexican, long-haired, tattooed.
Well, let me tell you something. The Mexicans I know that warned me about this film that were on the production, they didn't like the stereotype of Mexicans as working at Home Depot and wanting to kill gringos.
I like that.
Ugh.
Well, this has been an insane interview, Eddie Bravo.
Yeah, you just really ruined the whole cause.
All right, let's get serious.
Let's get serious.
He had sex with Jessica Alba and Michelle.
Okay.
No one cares about that dumb movie.
Okay, he's going to beat me up, though. Eddie Bravo over here. Now stop for a second. And Joel, have to protect me. Let's get serious. Let's get back to Fear Factor and the bees. That's a really interesting story.
Interesting. We had an episode of Fear Factor where we covered people in bees. It was part of the stunt. They would stand. We had them, like, I believe they were handcuffed to a pole. And then we covered them with bees. And they had to keep the bees on them for a certain amount of time and then take them off. So we had a beekeeper that had, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of bees. He had a giant truck filled with bees. Well, while we were doing this stunt, we were out in this this field area that was like near these mountains, and there was a local bee population. So we have these hundreds of thousands of bees flying in the air all around these people. Well, an invading group came in. So it was a local bee population came in, a giant swarm, and they started communicating with the bees that we had. And it was a trip. And we had to stop production in the middle of this stunt. We had to stop, and the beekeeper said, everybody's got to back off. They have to work this out. So the bees that were local came and were communicating with the other bees, and there was a giant swarm in the sky where these two bee populations were interacting with each other. It was fascinating. It took about 20 minutes. They worked it out, and then the local bees, you know, were like, what are you guys doing over here? And like, we're just filming a movie. Like, okay, you're not coming in here to eat our flowers and take our pollen. Like, no. We're just working for this guy, and he has us come in here, and we're working on a TV show. Like, literally, they talked it out, and then the local bees took off and left them alone, and then we continued filming. But it was fascinating. Like, they had to communicate. They had to figure it out.
It's
like little aliens, you know?
I've even tried this with birds around my house and things. If I come out and even put in my mind the intent, like, I'm going to kill that bird. Without even having a weapon, the bird flies off. But if you're just being out nice and friendly, you know, the birds just sit there, almost land on your hand. I've got all these tame swallows around my house. So it's almost like there's something telepathic. They pick up on the intent.
Someone is going to take this clip and use it and say, Alex Jones uses mind control on birds.
They probably will. No. What I'm saying is,
I'm going to kill you, bird.
No. Have you ever, exactly, and I don't care, have you ever been, in a building, you think you're alone, and you feel somebody looking at you, and you turn around, they're looking at you. I mean, I can't tell you how many.
They have said that is what, I mean, look, I think there are some enhanced states of telepathic, you know, communication that we all have. There's something that connects us. Like, when you're thinking about someone and they call you, like, you're thinking about them, and then right when you're thinking about them, they call you. I think there's something to that, but the one provable one is that people can tell. It's been proven in studies that they can tell when someone's looking at them. And they've had studies where they've had people, and they've had people stand facing one direction and had someone look behind them, and people can sense, you know, more often than...
No, we have a family ranch, and there's not supposed to be people, out there poaching or whatever. But two separate times, I've been out by myself, once when I was a teenager and another time a few years ago, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, this is a lot of acreage. And I feel somebody looking at me, and I walk 200 yards through the woods right up to somebody poaching in a deer stand out of season. I mean, I couldn't see the deer stand, couldn't see the guy. I could feel them looking, and then went through the woods. He was up high, so he could see me, and he was like, yeah, I was looking at you. I mean, it was like automatic. Somebody
in a black helicopter?
Somebody is looking at me.
You don't worry about a dude like that shooting you? Like, he's out there shooting deers illegally, and you're like, hey, buddy, what are you doing up there with a gun in a tree wearing camo? You don't worry about he's going to shoot you?
No, because, I mean, most good hunters, I mean, they're going to need to see. They're not going to.
Hunters don't poach.
Well, exactly. They're not going to shoot our cows that are out there, hopefully, too. I mean, there are idiots that get drunk and drive up and think that cows every year are deer and they shoot them.
Really?
Yeah, that happens a lot. Or they have those fake robot deer that the cops put up, the game wardens and idiots just pull up and start blasting off the side of the highway.
They film them, right? Is it the robot deer have cameras on them?
Yeah.
Nice. Here's where your money's going. Robot deer.
Are we going somewhere with the bees story?
Or is that
we're probably going down profanity lane, Eddie Bravo.
Eddie Bravo.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Just do it.
Next turn.
I'm sorry about that. Let me do it as soon as possible again. The guys delayed it, so.
How many guys from the Roswell incident, how many guys on their deathbed confessed? There's a couple, Ramey, right?
Yeah.
And Philip Corso, right?
Yeah, that colonel.
How many? Was there two or three? Are you on top of Roswell?
I'll say this. It just came out in like the BBC 2 weeks ago that Churchill thought aliens were invading. They had these flying saucers flying all over London, tracking their planes. And there's a lot of stuff going on.
In China, remember airport closed down maybe 3 months ago?
No. I mean, they've had giant craft... Over Dallas a few years ago, remember like giant blimps I mean, they look like blimps because they were blimps. And ABC News aimed cameras in Salt Lake and said, look, it's aliens. And it was just a giant Homeland Security blimp. But here's the issue. I'm sure out of all the trillions of galaxies that are out there, there's some stuff going on. My issue is the distances and everything. And, of course, then there's space-time continuum, dimensional travel, things like that, that have been theoretically developed. Like the mind of Max Planck 110 years ago with equations created atomic theory and the plans for atomic weapons. And that was a guy on a chalkboard envisioning this. So I have no doubt whatever we can envision, it seems to either come true or we're then able to lever to later build it. But I just don't get into UFOs and things, Eddie, because I can't prove it one way or the other. I mean, I can prove they're putting mercury in shots and that it's a plan to brain damage people. I can prove that they created tetanus vaccines to sterilize women. I have the absolute admissions, and I can't get people to care. They're like, good. Well, I love it. I love my kid being autistic. I want more shots. So, I mean, I just try to cover what I can cover.
I thought you were all over UFOs. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
No.
We'll go back.
No. We are. No.
Total domination.
Fascinated by UFOs.
No. We do cover UFOs. I'm not saying you're bad for talking about it.
NWO. Let's go back.
No, but here's the bigger issue with UFOs. We do have partially declassified things like Project Bluebeam, where they plan to project giant holograms, the size of a Star Destroyer, to freak people out, or project Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad as a psych warfare weapon, and that the government has looked at plans to have fake alien landings to unify the planet around world government.
Well, didn't they look into the possibility of creating a gay bomb to use in the Iraqi soldiers?
Yes.
A bomb that would make them sexually attracted to each other and kill morale? That's real.
That's genius.
Isn't that true? That is real, right?
Yes, and they created tsunami bombs. Seriously,
tsunami bombs are funny, but not as funny as gay bombs. Gay bombs are the funniest.
Can you imagine if that was real?
What if it is real? Is it possible? You would know. Is it possible to create a bomb that makes everybody gay? Is that possible?
Probably not.
What about the latest in emotional control and radio waves to control your
soap operas, and birth control pills. That's right? What that all is.
Yes, frequency pollution. But now they're coming out with a new class of vaccines. They call them vaccines, Eddie, but they're not even vaccines. You hear, new vaccine to cure drug use or cigarette use or coffee. But live viruses go in and attack your brain and actually destroy the receptors so you can't even absorb the drugs anymore that mimic your normal endorphins. And so they're behavior modification vaccines where they shoot you up and then you don't have the will to even get angry. They're calling them anti-stress vaccines. He doesn't believe it. Search the term anti-stress vaccines. And it says, don't worry, Joe. You take this shot, you're never going to get mad again.
I'm tired of getting mad. Do you ever get tired of getting mad? Do you ever get tired of all this doom and gloom and they're coming to get you, ladies and gentlemen, black helicopters?
No, that's part of the struggle of being a human.
This is the struggle of being a human, the searching for...
Searching to sustain the species, to bring us to the next level, and to not let these degenerate control freaks ruin our chance to colonize space.
When Charlie Sheen choked his wife, were you like, damn... You're messing up the cause. Like, I had you on the program. You were looking good. Charlie Sheen calling for full disclosure on 911. And then he's got to go and
check. He needs a vaccine for that.
Is that what it is?
That would make... Look, I'm not going to get into that whole story.
The mind control.
I'm not going to get into that whole story.
But all I wanted to know is, does this ever wear on you? I mean, you're constantly dealing with negative stuff.
By the way, Charlie's a good guy.
He is a good guy. I'm a fan. Platoon was an awesome movie. I'm a fan of Charlie Sheen.
Have you ever?
You know what? Some chicks need to be choked. How about that? Some of them get a little mouthy, and you want to get on top of them. And
okay, Joe.
Let them know who's paying the rent here. Right, freak.
Is it illegal to choke a girl?
Yes.
I'm kidding. I don't choke anybody. I don't choke girls, especially unless they want it, and then it's free.
Okay, that's enough.
All right, I'm sorry.
Family program. Holy mackerel. I wanted to talk about
you want to learn jiu-jitsu, right? Jiu-jitsu.
So you teach them jiu-jitsu?
It's women. There's women in our class.
You perform...
chokes.
Oh, okay. You meant... See, now I'm expecting everything.
It's an art.
That's right. You train in that.
He trains women. That's how you met his girlfriend. Trained her. There you go.
In many ways.
Jiu-jitsu.
Okay. Oh, man. You know what?
I'm just saying that, you're a fun guy to hang around with. And people always say, man, you're friends with Alex Jones. Is that a bummer? And I'm like, no, man, Alex Jones is a cool guy. We have a good time. Last night we went to Fogo de Chao. We had some delicious meat. It was awesome. We had a great time. Then we went out to the comedy club. We went out to dinner afterwards. We had a great time. We hung out. We had a lot of laughs. There was no doom and gloom. You know, it was like, man, hanging out with Alex Jones must be a bummer. You know, the dude's always talking about the end of the world and vaccines robbing your soul. And well, no, you're fine.
But I mean, I'm warning people about all these things because life is good.
Right.
I want to protect what's good. So private property rights, the family.
Do you think by being ultra paranoid and ultra aware and being an alarmist and coming out against all these things that you're helping because you're making it more difficult for people to do evil things? You're making it, because of all the information that you're releasing, you're making it harder for these people to work that way?
Well, to be clear, when Nightline was here a while back, they said, are you exaggerating things because you think it's good for your cause? And, you know, it's the noble lie. And Texas Monthly asked me that, too. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying, but I'm just going to the extreme of that. And I'm like, no, this is really going on. The good in the world is so much better than I can even describe. The bad in the world is worse than I can describe. These globalists really are greedy creatures. They really do have death panels. They really do want to start killing people. Now Bill Gates has come out and admitted it and said how great it is. They really do.
Bill Gates has said that we have an overpopulation problem.
Yeah.
And he has said that he thinks that the species should be limited to a certain number of people, but he hasn't said, you know, there should be death panels and all that kind of stuff.
Actually, no, he just recently did.
He said there should be death panels?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what he said.
Why aren't you dead?
That's a good question.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you should have, like, security
you worry
around
about
you
that?
At all time.
Well, right? What you need to worry about is more nutty ultra-patriot dudes than you do actual CIA.
Or schizophrenics.
It doesn't seem...
We've had a lot of schizophrenics go, I know you put the chip in my head.
Oh, man.
And it's like,
Are they still doing the chips? Are they still into the chips? Do they realize, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah, they have nanotech chips. We're probably all got them in us.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good with this chip. I think I got a good chip.
I got to ask you.
They're mainly tracker chips.
Alex, I got a question about the Y2K. You were saying, I was listening to old tapes and you were saying.
No. I did 9 hours of radio on Y2K on the Genesis Network. And my girlfriend runs in, now my wife, and she says, they're on ABC News saying a missile was launched from Russia. So I run back out there. And ABC News is saying a missile's been fired for Russia. So I said, I don't know what it means, but a missile's been fired for Russia. Then they come back and say, oh, it was just a scud. And we happen to have the Russians here at NORAD, and it was like some kind of drill or something. And then I went on a guy named Michael Trudeau's show that day and made jokes about it. So people took 9 hours and edited 9 hours, part of it me joking around, like Joe was saying earlier.
Like nuclear plants were blowing up.
Yeah, no, it's not true. No, what they did is they just took pieces. And like I'd have an AP article saying, well, 6 plants are going offline, and then an hour later they'd say it wasn't true. They were doing that to create fear.
Yes.
Like I didn't believe in Y2K at first. Then the Pentagon said it was going to be real. Then I started believing it. And then right before they said, oh, we never said that. It was a psyop.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man.
Joe and Eddie Bravo have got to go here.
There's not enough time to discuss all the problems in the world, Alex Jones.
Well, this isn't a problem. I mean, it's a search for knowledge. Eddie, you want chemtrail info. Here's our research for a film we've been working on for 2 years.
Well, this is something that your staff just handed me that's hilarious. The Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. There's a complaint form, and one of the things in the complaint form is an investigation of weather modification complaints. And it says, and this is the options, the identity of the county affected by the seeding, the location where the seeding took place. They're talking about cloud seeding. Mm-hmm. If different from the affected county, specific dates and the time of the seeding, and then in the online complaint process, please choose the statute you are reporting a violation on. One of the options is weather modification services. Like,
yeah, now there's thousands of those companies globally.
But that's not even like publicly. No one even knows.
Yeah, well,
even
do you see this? This is all the patents, all the admissions, the programs. This is what they admit right here. And this is full of them, is a patent on cloud seeding to reduce global warming with barium salt, aluminum dioxide. 15 years ago, the researchers said, we've tested it. It's aluminum dioxide, barium salt. They say, shut up, kooks. These patents, there's patents to add it to the jet fuel.
Aluminum.
It's very poisonous. It poisons the soil. It poisons the brain.
Makes it rain? Is that what it does? What does it do?
No. This is higher atmosphere spraying, creating artificial clouds with the aluminum dioxide, barium salt, a nuclei, but the issue is they've got the patents and then the programs where it is added to some commercial jet fuel, but they don't know, and then it disperses the nuclei out of the jet engines. I mean, I have the patents.
They got really good at making the weather, at changing the weather, and then, like, say, like this Colorado wildfire they just had. What if they could just fly over and seed the clouds and make it rain and put out the fire? Wouldn't that be good?
The truth is they're already doing that covertly.
They've been doing that since the Vietnam War. They were creating
Yeah, that was Ben Livingston. I mean, I flew him to Austin. I interviewed Ben Livingston, who it was all classified. They just declassified it in 2005. And that's the guy. They were creating and steering and controlling hurricanes then. And that's why he came on the show. He said, I don't get why they didn't stop Katrina. I mean, we were doing this in 67. He said, with seven aircraft, I'd have knocked it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So they would just fly above it and spray something on the hurricane?
Totally, yeah, they call it the generation cells.
Have you seen them, like, if you pay attention, you see that they're creating, like, beautiful cloud patterns. They're like artists. They're making dashes and then turn.
Well, isn't that not possible that is flight paths and what they're dealing with is just the moisture in the
atmosphere?
Documents. Yeah, but that's...
Here's the deal.
Documents pertain to experiments.
Until...
It doesn't mean...
No. In the sky. No. They call whole wars at the Pentagon, Iraq and Afghanistan, are now called laboratories.
What?
Why does a doctor call the person that they're working on a patient? Because it was all about experimentation the last 200 years. You were practicing on the patient. You were practicing. So they're practicing on us.
Well, what else would you call someone that's going to a doctor if they weren't a patient? What would be the other option?
But the point is, it's not the patient. Listen, it's not the patient issue. It's the word that they're calling it a practice. So all this is practicing.
Oh, okay, practicing.
Practicing art form.
But you practice medicine. I mean, it is like, you know, when you practice jiu-jitsu, you do it to somebody.
Exactly.
You know?
But they're calling all of these tests that are giant operations.
They're calling them practices.
Yes.
And you're making a movie, a documentary on chemtrails.
Yes.
Wow.
And there's another one that next year, but there's another one coming out that I've seen that's pretty good, and we're going to be selling that as well.
Aerosols, that one that's out on Google Video, aerosols.
Aerosol crimes?
Yeah, aerosol crimes.
Very good stuff. Everything in that film has now been proven real. They went from denying all this 2 years ago, they suddenly just admitted it all. But they do it real dryly and go, yes, we're saving you from children's textbooks. In like sixth grade, say they're chemtrailing us. They don't call it chemtrails. Joe, Eddie Bravo, UFC here in Austin tonight. Great having you here. Yes, I am. Great job, crew.